Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Wrestling Wrap Up Podcast. I'm your host, Mari Forth. And with me, as always, my co-host, my tag team partner, the Luchasaurus to my Jungle Boy, Jack Perry. Mr. Mascot, what's going on?
Woo! Mari, happy to be here. Happy to lucha it up to, I don't know, I would rather be Jungle Boy. I just think, like, I like his aesthetic more. He's less creepy.
Really? Feel like that was the first thing I was gonna do. I was gonna switch it up. I was gonna do that, but then I was like, I feel like he's gonna say something. I feel like you just say things. You just automatically want to say the opposite person that I give you.
Are you accusing me of being a contrarian? Because yeah. I'm not one. If you're whatever you're confusing me of, you're wrong. You're wrong. You're wrong. I mean, like, look. I don't. Look. Okay. So this, I'm just taking it in. You know, Jungle Boy, you get the kick pads, you got the little trunks, you got the hair. Yeah. That, to me, feels more like me than it does like you. I could picture you in, like, a dinosaur costume.
Is that a compliment? I don't... All right, well... I don't know.
I can't tell you. I think it's more like a neutral. Great to be here. Great to be tuned in and to be the Luchasaurus. And you know what? I would actually like to think on that note that I would have won Big Brother. So let's just leave it at that.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of leaving in your shoe without your shoes.
What a smooth start to this week's episode.
How's
it going over there?
It's going good. It's lovely to see you again this week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been so long.
It's like been a few days. Yeah. Yes, if you didn't catch it, me and Matt were guest hosts on the Bachelorette podcast this week. So much fun. You know, I love talking to Amy and Haley. I'm on there as much as they allow me. And so it was really great to have you on there with me this time because it was... We were just sitting back and all listening to you talk about your 29 pages of notes.
Look, I have to say, that's a shoot. It's a shoot. There are 29 pages of notes. I will say that if you take out some of the headshots of the guys from ABC's website, maybe it's more like 22 pages, but it was a lot. And I was scrolling through even just the other day, like, what happened? How did I? But I'm glad that I got on board with the Bachelorette train. And I will say I, too, enjoyed podcasting with you, with Haley, with Amy. I'm on as much as they'll let me. And so far, that's only been once. But I had fun. And I'll keep watching The Bachelorette. Hopefully, I'm back because, I don't know. I don't know about the next Bachelor. That's a whole other conspiracy. But one day I will watch that show again and be part of the draft and. I'll have even more pages of notes.
Yeah. Maybe if they bring you on as the draft, they'll win. Because since you're working from a novice position.
What? No. Yes. I'm an expert. Literally, I have in my 29 pages, I have a list of people who I'm like, ooh, they have a chance. They have a chance. They have a chance. Mari, don't underestimate my reads. My reads are solid. And I would win that draft. I would beat Asia. I would beat Amy. I would beat Haley. And I'm just saying it now. I'm calling them out. If they think that they could beat me at the Bachelorette, then you have another thing coming to you, because baby boy is here for the draft. I was like, am I going somewhere with this? No, but this is turning into a pro wrestling promo.
And that's what we do best. We turn everything into a pro wrestling promo here.
Yeah, so sponsored by my cup of coffee. Thank you so much, coffee.
Yeah, it was so fun. We did a great job. And definitely go check out the Bachelorette podcast. They cover the Bachelor and Bachelorette. They are literally on their fifth season in 1 year. Like, it is nuts bananas.
But we are basically on our fifth season. I mean, it depends how you do the math, it's all the same. We're kindred souls, right?
With them
over on the podcast. And I will also say this week's episode featured the Bella. Well,
yeah, this week's
featured is a strong word. Featured is a strong word, but the Bella twins were there doing the things that were wrestling adjacent.
Adjacent, perpendicular, somewhere in that ballpark there of wrestling. All right, let's just get into some a little bit of news here. Bray Wyatt, Mr. Wyndham Rotunda, is reportedly working on a movie. Yeah, it's supposed to be like a horror movie. He's good friends with some of the producers of a horror film studio. He's been working with them, you know, during his Fiend stuff, you know, the great Tom Servino. So it looks like, I'm trying to pull the name of the production company here. But Colossum Studios. He's worked with Colossum Studios owner and makeup effects artist Jason Baker. And they were on the Warner Brothers lot. They're spotted in Warner Brothers. And so they're supposed to begin filming for their horror film later on this month. And we don't know the name of the film. We don't know what it's about. But all they said is it's going to be really new and different. And then they described it as Ichi the Killer meets Xanadu. So, like, I'm intrigued.
I'm baffled.
Yeah,
Here's what I'll say. You know, you have to be true to you, Mari. You'll be the intrigued one. I'm going to be the one who's like, let me know when they're on the third film, like when he's in his third film. Because, you know, we had I was going to say Batista, but I need to give his shoot name, Dave Bautista. We had him in his meteoric rise to stardom. And, you know, I feel like the first movie he was in was Guardians of the Galaxy. Maybe. I happen to see that. Even if it wasn't, though, let's just say it was. I happen to see that. But, like, I just think I want to see all of these wrestlers thrive in Hollywood, because I think it's really great for wrestling.
Yeah.
It's also really great for them individually. And hopefully this works out for Wyndham.
Yeah. And they
sounds all like such a formal name, by the way. Do you think he goes by like Wendy or Winnie?
I like Wyndham. It's very, it has a lot of gravitas.
Winnie Rowe. Wendy Rowe.
And that's I think that name that he's named after his grandfather, who
Barry
is
Wyndham.
Barry Wyndham. Yeah. Very famous. He comes from two sides of wrestling, like family, like amazing. Good for him. But they're saying that it's not going to be Fiend related. Like, it's going to be a totally different character, which is great
as well.
That's good. I mean, Bray can do a lot. We've seen he can do, like, acting is literally his strong suit. Like, he could go the role. Did you ever see No Evil with Kane?
Yep.
I did too.
And I read the book too.
Very impressionable kid. I said, oh, WWE, yeah, let's go. It wasn't that great.
I thought it was a good movie. I didn't even think it was a good movie at the time. Who am I kidding? It wasn't great. The book was interesting. I don't know how they roped me into reading the See No Evil book.
Right.
So that was fascinating. I think like there was like a murder and a story, and there was also a book, but like the Kane and the Undertaker were up against each other in the, it was a whole thing.
It wasn't that bad. It just was like your typical slasher film, like teens run into like a abandoned house and they get mowed down. Like it was just
spoiler.
Like, spoiler for a 15-year-old movie.
I mean, no one's probably seen it. So,
Bray could do something to that effect, but smarter. I could definitely see that happening. So good for him. Yes.
I'm nervous for him because I don't want to be typecast into this special effects sci-fi horror slasher kind of role. Like,
but honestly, that's,
I get nervous. That's why I'm nervous. I'm nervous.
Not everybody is going to be Dwayne the Rock Johnson and be typecast into the biggest action star of all time. So if you're, you know, and then John Cena is trying to do the same thing. So if you're coming from a wrestling background and then Batista, same, like, do you think Bray cannot fit? I don't think Bray should try and fit into that mold of like, action hero. So him going the horror route could be really good for him, especially since he's a proven actor. He's literally taken everything that they've given to him and, you know, worked his ideas in a way that they've all always like at least gotten over with the fans story wise, you know, booking and wrestling wise, maybe not. But he's always had that story element pat.
I just want to see his face what I want. That's all I want. That's like literally a very simple thing, but we'll see kind of what happens with his career. And also I think even more, the thing that wrestling fans probably care about more is if and when he returns to the ring. We don't even know the circumstances truly around his in-ring status. Like, is he healthy and able to go? We don't know. Mm-hmm. Does he want to wrestle? We don't know. But I'm just pushing for like whatever he wants. I want what's best for him and wishing him all the best. But this is great news for him. It sounds like this is a big milestone and not everyone has this type of opportunity. So good on Wendy Williams.
I completely agree, except for that last part, calling him Wendy. His 90-day compete clause has been up for a while, if I remember correctly, because he was like in one of those. There's been so many rounds of
late.
Cuts.
It was like late July, early August.
Was it?
Don't math.
No, even us. That, it's still up.
Yeah, it's recently up.
Jeez. Time.
Time. Yeah.
So
is a
flat
circle.
I would love to see him in Hollywood in that type of capacity. So good on him.
Hollywood Hulk Bray.
Ew.
Next up
for news, we also got Keith Lee. Keith Lee posted on his birthday thanking all the fans for the birthday shout
out. Yeah. Worth noting, you were gonna say this anyway, everyone knows this, but in case anyone forgot or missed last week's episode or hasn't been on the internet at all over the last week, Keith Lee was unjustly released from the WWE.
A few days before his birthday, a month or so before his wedding, like.
They don't like him. If letting him go is some indication that there's something they didn't like about him, that's just brutal. And it does sound like they kind of just slashed and got rid of a ton of people who we really love and who the world loves. But
tell us. Speaking of which, you know, if you guys watched last week, we were reacting to the releases. We were reacting to the releases as they were coming through. Come to find out later that some of the releases were due to vaccination status as well.
Yeah.
So that could make sense as to why a few of those names were also cut.
Yes. And also a few of them were folks who had requested their releases to, from what I've heard since and understand. So
yeah,
like, between like from Grand Melik and Lince Dorado,
yes.
I think that they fall into the category allegedly of people who requested their releases. Mm-hmm. Nia Jax, allegedly not vaxxed.
Well, she spoke out saying that she was taking time off for her mental health.
We need to talk about that. Yeah.
Yeah. She said she was taking time off for her mental health, and she had asked for like another week, and then she was cut. And she said, she basically said nobody asked her about her status and did not give her a chance to change the status if she wanted to. So, yeah.
She had chances. She had chances. I mean, I take this separately from the mental health conversation, because mm-hmm. that's very serious, and yeah. it is cruel if what she's saying is true and they released her like that under right. the circumstances where she was taking a mental health break for very obvious reasons. It's not great to lose your job under those circumstances, mm-hmm. but has she gone and gotten... I don't know. I'm not going to talk. I don't want to talk about this because it's a lot of allegedly, but I'm just
saying. It's a lot of allegedly. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Like, if Nia, I can't see them not being able to come to terms. Like, I would be very shocked if Nia shows up anywhere else, to be quite honest. Maybe she'll take a break, and then maybe they'll see if they can try and work it out. But I just, it would be really hard for me to see her in another promotion, to be quite honest.
Yeah. It's a rough, I mean, that happens. I think there are a lot of people, even this year, we could probably go down the list and point to a number of people like, oh, that's probably the last time that we'll see them in wrestling for a variety of reasons, mm-hmm. including reputations, and just like maybe some people aren't that interested in being wrestlers. But you were talking about the one, the only, Limitless.
Keith Lee.
And his note app, which by the way, I don't know what app he used, but this looks like a very professional note app.
Yeah.
Like a nice white background, good Arial font.
Yeah, he basically was just thanking the fans for the positivity and, you know, talking about it's been rough. But, you know, but the biggest thing that he said in his release was, I paid all my medical bills from the many offices and machines I frequented. There's a positivity in that. And I do find it amusing that people believe anyone but me paid for my medical expenses. So. WWE then took this kind of as a shot to them, saying like, they actually issued a statement, which a lot of people pointed out, like they don't normally do this. Shout out to, Derek and the Job Hazard Squadcast, Facebook group for bringing this up, but they actually responded and, they said,
do you have the statement pulled up? I have the statement over here, and what they said, because I'm reading this, because I think the specific language they use is always interesting. Keith Lee's recent comments implying WWE failed to pay his medical bills are erroneous. And by the way, what Keith Lee said was, quote, I paid all my medical bills from the many offices and machines I frequented, period, end quote. So that's what he said. So they're saying his statement is erroneous, and they're saying WWE has an extensive healthcare program for the medical care of all of its in-ring performers. Mr. Lee was part of that program. Should Mr. Lee, ooh, this is the shady part. Should Mr. Lee have any concerns over the payment of medical bills, he's welcome to address them with WWE. I don't know who this person is who wrote the statement, but I don't want to be on their bad side, because it does feel a little shady. It also doesn't, it's not them saying we paid for all of Mr. Lee's medical bills. That's not what it's saying at all. So I don't know what to think of this or make of it, but I tend to believe that the truth probably lies somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Like, maybe here's what I would say. If Keith Lee sent his medical bills to WWE today, after this situation, I think that they would pay his medical bills. But also, like, I don't know how they would know that they... I don't think there's any way they would know that they paid all of his medical bills. He knows his medical bills better than they do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it kind of sounded like they were trying to say... They said they're the medical program?
Sure. They pay for people's stuff. They do pay for people's stuff. But that doesn't mean that they necessarily paid for Keith Lee's medical care. Maybe he... I mean, maybe there's a world where he didn't ask them to pay for his medical care. I could see that. Because he didn't say that they didn't pay for it. He just said that he paid for it. Which maybe that was just like something that... he was proud of and did.
Yeah,
we don't know. We're not in anyone's pockets. But to me, I just think, like, I know that he's not. I would be shocked if he was just lying and making stuff up. You know,
like I said, when I first read that statement, I didn't think of it as a shot at WWE. Like I was like, oh, okay, yeah. I felt like he was saying, like, graciously, like, he at least all he doesn't have to worry about his medical bills because they're all paid in full. You know what I'm saying? Like, that, you know what I'm saying? Like, cause that's what, you know what I'm saying? Before getting,
like,
laid
all
off,
of my all language of his bills is so are taken, powerful.
Yeah. Yeah, like, all his bills are taken care of. So he doesn't have to worry about that while now that he's, like, jobless. Huh. But then I guess that second, you know, that second part that he said that anybody else paid them off but me is like laughable or whatever. I think that's where they took the offense. So I don't know. It definitely feels like making a mountain out of a molehill to me. But WWE gun WWE.
It's not my molehill, like, and it's not my mountain. Like, yeah. It's not. Okay. Yeah. Figure it out. Just get your bills paid. Send them to finance@WWE.com and they'll probably hook you up. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
I mean,
but I mean, I
email.
It is very frustrating because of, like, you have Keith Lee, who's just, he put out his statement, right? I'm sure there's more he'll have to say on it in the future or, you know, sooner or later. But then you have WWE with their very corporate jargon statement, which could be interpreted so many ways. I don't know. I'm annoyed by it. I don't trust them too much, but that's a whole other story. Ooh, so much going on. Anything else though, Mari, like, related to the releases that from last week that you'd mentioned? I feel like we were literally just shocked as it was happening.
Yeah.
Because it was happening as we were recording.
Grand Metalik and Lince Dorado. So that was kind of funny. So when was it Lince, right? When Lince Dorado got released. Everybody's favorite show parents. We're gonna get canceled. Izzy's parents are gonna cancel us. We've talked about them like 3 weeks in a row at this point.
No, here's the thing. No, wait, let me just say, I fully support Izzy.
Okay.
I'm an Izzy fan.
Right.
Not a fan of her dad. Not a fan of her stage dad, but
there it is. So Lince Dorado released. Like we said, he more than likely he asked for his release. Izzy's dad then, and I think her mom too, went on to kind of like make fun of him being released.
Yeah.
And then Lince saw it and basically was like, I have a show today at 4:00. Like, come through and say this to my face. And
he screenshotted the tweet. And by so he was smart because he took a screenshot because he said, I like this move. I like it. You said, I know he's going to delete this tweet because I know he doesn't want to get these hands. So he deleted the tweet, but Lince had that screenshot. So I just want to say, you didn't have to do that. Hilarious. Like, just be a good person, you know, be a kind, be supportive, be like, treat these performers who have literally inspired you, I'm sure, but also your daughter and people who have been WWE has been so supportive. The community has been so supportive of Izzy too. I just don't get the hostility toward performers. And, you know, log out. Like, that's a good move. And I actually think when I checked to see what was going on in his Twitter wasn't still there. So maybe someone, maybe Izzy got
no. They deactivated it, and Lindsay. I just think this is hilarious by Lindsay, because if it's true, Lindsay wanted out. Good for him, because they weren't really using him. I'm pretty sure he can go back to AAA and you know make. You know, continue being somewhere he wants to be. So
yeah,
good for him. And I mean, even that, I mean, New Japan, AEW, whatever. There's so many options out now. So that's what we love for wrestlers. But Lindsay also bought the dude a ticket. He bought him a parking pass. Said like, come see about me, dog. I love it. It was so great. And then of course, that's when the dad issued an apology. And
yeah, well, that, what do you got? That, what do you call it, an apology, or it did use the word apologize five times?
Right, he let yes, yes, he apologized. He used the word apology 5 times. It seems like I'm reading over it. It's way too long, y'all, for us to read it. But
wait, is the original thing he posted like he circled the word apologize in it?
He didn't circle it.
Okay.
Somebody else did.
I wasn't sure who circled the word apologize.
Somebody who was saying like, oh, that man is shook. Like he was scared. He was so scared that I sincerely apologize for my insensitive tweet. I owe you a direct apology. I truly apologize for my actions. I do wish you and family all the best. Apology. Like he was very much trying not to get the hands at that point.
I laugh not because I wanted anyone to end up in a physical altercation, mm-hmm. but because, like, just don't mouth off like that. Like, what was yes, that accomplishing? Exactly. And that's not I don't want to tell people how to parent, but I do feel comfortable telling people how to human sometimes. Mm-hmm. Just like, don't be rude to people is just all I'm saying. That's not setting a good example for anyone.
I agree. I completely agree. So that's it for the news this week.
Yeah, we spent way too much time on
way too much time on the news.
I want to get a tweet. I want to get a tweet from him or something.
Oh, God. Well, he deleted his Twitter. So.
He's probably been blocked.
Yeah. It looks like we also got a 5-star review.
Five stars.
Maybe it's four stars. Star, actually,
review.
Hold on.
Is it seriously four stars? Well, four stars
works.
I'm
just playing, but I think
if it's four, look. Here's what I'm gonna say to the people who are listening.
See my reviews.
Here's the thing, Mari. As you pull up the reviews, let me just talk to the people for a second.
Please do.
Everybody, we're just a little baby pro wrestling podcast over here. We just started at the start of this year. I didn't mean to rhyme, but now, see, Mari, now I feel like I watched so much Bachelorette with the spoken word that now I feel like I'm going to drop a soliloquy. But I just want you all to know that we do appreciate your 5-star reviews. It goes a long way to helping other people find this podcast. If you're listening right now,
there it is.
Leave us a review, show us some love. Mari found, is it 4 stars or 5?
It is 5 stars.
Look, that was going to turn into a whole other podcast if it was only 4. Thank you for showing us love, everybody. If you too want to be have your review read on the podcast, well, all you need to do is leave a 5-star review. Mari, what does this review say? Is it I haven't looked at it. So.
Kenny C 1313 says, I just got back into wrestling partially because of this podcast. I always wanted to watch wrestling again, but was always under the impression that it's for kids and not cool for people to watch it. But because of this podcast, I was confident that it was more than okay to watch it. I started watching again and fell in love with wrestling again. This is a great podcast and really explains what wrestling is and helps ease new wrestling fans into the world of wrestling. I recommend this podcast for anyone. Thank you so much, Kenny. Like that really it really does make us feel good, because that was the whole aim of our podcast. You know what I'm saying? Like we could be like any other wrestling podcast out there and, you know, try and just cater to just one demo or
and they're great. They're
awesome. They're awesome. Yeah. However, we just definitely want to bring inclusivity to wrestling. Like, call us Joe Gacy, but we are just about bringing different perspectives, bringing on new people, making people feel comfortable with wrestling. Like, we are not trying to be wrestling gatekeepers.
We do want to create a safe space in wrestling.
Exactly.
In all seriousness, though, I love comments like this. And I love anytime we hear from the people we hear from. Like, there was a podcast, not wrestling podcast, but a podcast I did a couple months ago where at the end I was like, if you are still listening 2 hours in, please like tweet us that you're listening, because sometimes it doesn't, it feels like people are not listening. We don't hear from people all the time, but I love those comments especially. And I'll also just shout out Brock from Australia, who is one person who messaged me with like a nice comment saying a very similar thing, like being someone who was not engage with wrestling and listening to our podcast to catch up and kind of get back in the loop. We've heard that a few times from people, and I'm just glad that kind of our mission of being welcoming for people who are not hardcore fans is working. And so if you're listening and you have friends who don't watch wrestling, what are they waiting for? You know how cool this is. We know how cool this is. So feel free to share our podcast with them and just encourage them to check out the playlist in the show notes. Find a week that you liked from our podcast and just go back and give them that. That's the beautiful thing. They can start wherever they want this year.
Yeah.
It's easy. And there's a playlist.
And we are on YouTube. You know, we are on YouTube. Our faces are here. You can go to the Rob Has a Podcast YouTube and you can also comment there. You know, we might not read those on the show, but we see you. It really helps, like, with our visibility. Again, we know that you're there, so we really, really appreciate that. That's the one thing we definitely want to get across. No matter what, we really appreciate this community, no matter how small it is or how, you know, big it is, who sits here and listens to us give our, you know, 2 cents about the really weird, wild world of wrestling.
Well, I think the other thing is, like, it's bigger than we even know or realize, because we don't hear from everybody. And so, like, say hey, send a message, send a tweet, hit us up, please. If you're hearing our voice, let us know that you're hearing it. And, you know, we'll plug ourselves. You know, you can find Mari at Mari Talks Too Much, to like the number 2, Matt Scott. Okay. That's me. At Matt Scott GW on Twitter, on Stereo. Probably just dropped those plugs really early. But yeah, let us know if you're listening.
This is a perfect time. You can also send us any long form emails to wrestling@robhasawebsite.com. And like Matt said, we also have a podcast Twitter at Wrestling Rehap Up on Twitter. Tag hashtag Wrestling Rehap Up to join the conversation. Thank you, Force of Will. He's always using that hashtag.
I used the hashtag once this week. I did use the hashtag once.
So,
and Will probably use it more. So thank you, Will. We really appreciate you. And again, use hashtag Wrestling Wrap Up to talk to Will and to us.
Yes. And of course, like we said, we read that wonderful review off of our podcast feed, the Wrestling Wrap Up podcast feed. So download that podcast wherever you get your podcast. And finally, it is the middle of the month. You can always become a RHAP Patreon by going to RHAP patron by going to www.patreon.com/RHAP. It'll give you exclusive access to Patreon content, including the 5 for 5, the Survivor Q&A, patron games. So right now, it's always a great time to become an RHAP patron.
Yes, and you could binge like a lot of the content, that's because everything that is shared on the RHAP Patreon is still there. So even if you join in the middle of the month, you could go back and listen. You could binge, which reminds me, Mari, this week, not at all because of wrestling. I found myself messaging the one, the only, Richie Emmertson, aka Ryan Coppola. And I realized that my wrestling nickname would be the Binge Beast, because that's literally, I've been binging and beasting. And you could be a binge beast too. If you check out and binge the content on the RHP Patreon. Okay. Smooth, yep. Smooth move. I just wanted to mention the binge beast to you.
Yes. Thank you.
Do you think
that'd
be
awesome.
A good, like, gimmick?
I like
for me?
It.
I don't think it's not true. Like, I think Chappelle's more.
I don't know
the
if it's a gimmick.
Beast.
I think that's like a name. It's like Matt, the binge beast guy. You know what I'm saying? It's
I feel not like I would gimmick. Go with, no, I think like the name though, I was thinking I could shorten it to like Bibby.
All right.
Like B-I-B-E. Well, and they'd be like, we're here with Bibby. And I'd be like, yeah, Bibby.
That does not
yeah, Bibby.
Hit. It does not Dusty hit Rhodes. As well. Yeah, yeah. Well,
but speaking of the hits.
Yes. Let's get
sorry,
into the highlights of the week. No, that's it.
Okay, good.
We have no guests this week.
By the way, as a side note, we don't have a guest this week, in case you were wondering.
We don't have a guest this week, and so it's just the two of us on a weekend for the first time in
just
a minute.
The two of us.
There you go. Don't get us demonetized.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So, right. So let's get into the highlights of the week. Each week we go over the highlights from this week in wrestling. This week we'll be doing SmackDown because if you listened to us last week, we did a Thursday show. So we didn't get to talk about last week's SmackDown and this week's SmackDown. We'll also be getting a little bit into AEW Full Gear, and then Raw and maybe a little bit of NXT.
Ooh.
All right. So all of the highlights of the week can be found in a very handy dandy playlist that is in your show notes or description or your podcast. We're just pointing in different directions. If you're watching us on YouTube. But you can watch and follow along with us. So SmackDown. All right. We got to talk about SmackDown. SmackDown has been, it's still the A show for me, even though they, you know, took some of my favorite people off of it. But this King Woods and Roman Reigns storyline, it is so good. It's just so masterful. It's so good.
I think the thing that I appreciate maybe most about it is that we do know, so Survivor Series, we're going to get the Roman Reigns, the Big E Langston. We're going to give him his last name back.
Oh, no.
And we're already, in a way, it feels like this is building toward that.
Yes.
Not so directly.
Exactly.
That's why I say in a way, but it is building toward that. I almost feel like they could reference the fact that this ties in with that more. Like, I don't know. I feel like they have oddly not been mentioning Big E within that King Woods Roman Reigns storyline nearly as much as they could, but maybe that's just me.
I think they're waiting a little bit longer.
Like,
I guess.
What are they waiting for?
I know.
2 days before. Yeah.
Yeah, basically. It's really interesting. I kind of like it though. Like, I mean, we all know where it's going, but it doesn't feel like E is overshadowing Woods. You know what I'm saying? Because Woods is still a king. He's the king of the ring.
Yeah, so come on, king.
So last week, oh my gosh, last week.
Here for the jokes today.
You are. Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston came out and basically said they do not acknowledge Roman Reigns. And they challenged young James Uso, because that's specifically what they said, to a match.
Uso. James Jiminy Uso.
Yeah. They had some fun with Jimmy's name there. And they said that if Xavier Woods loses to Jiminy Uso, that he will bend the knee to Roman. But if Xavier won, then Jimmy would bend the knee to him. And then they had the crowd was into it, chanting, bend the knee.
Yeah, it sounds romantic.
So you've never watched Game of Thrones.
Well, I just mean like with a wedding ring and a proposal.
So then we got the match. Great match. Oh my God. Xavier Woods is just like, I don't know if he's an underrated wrestler just because, you know, he's always seen as kind of like the third of the New Day, but he is just so freaking good in the ring. Like, it is just amazing. And then of course him and Jimmy, they, you know, if you listen to the New Day podcast, which of course I endorse, I love that podcast.
Yeah.
They talk about how they came up with the Usos at the same time and that they just have such good chemistry. So I don't care. Give me the New Day versus the Usos 56 ways from Sunday. Do not care. I will watch every single second of it. As somebody who saw them live at SummerSlam in 2017. I mean, they literally blew the roof off the place. So,
wow.
Yeah, this was a great match. Jimmy lost. And before Jimmy could bend the knee to Xavier, Roman came out and Superman punched Xavier in the face. And then they beat up both Xavier and Kofi, but they held Xavier while they mangled Kofi's knee. They did a few moves to Kofi's knee. So this week on SmackDown, Kofi wasn't on SmackDown because they said he had a sprained MCL. And of course, the Bloodline said they don't bend the knee, they break knees.
Cute.
Very cute.
And by the way, I think, okay, that was not an original line from them. Because, or maybe, unless they said that before they did that to Kofi, someone on commentary said, "We don't bend knees, we break knees." And so maybe they stole that line from commentary.
Yeah.
But it's all good.
Probably all good. Definitely pushed a push line. Yeah.
Yes.
There. It's either way, line. Really good. It really is. It really is good. And so this week we had Roman versus Xavier. Loser bends the knee. Like, this is one of those matches going into it. I was like, I don't want either of them to lose. which, of course, great match. Roman, when Roman works big man, it is just, I love it. I love every second of it. Roman versus a smaller, quicker opponent has always probably been my favorite, but he also is just so versatile because he can go up against guys his you know, height and taller. Like, him and Braun work amazing together, him and Brock. That's why Roman Reigns is a great wrestler. But seeing him in this capacity as the, you know, heel that takes the help, and him destroying King Woods for most of the match, just for King Woods to, you know, hit the coast to coast elbow on him, and we're just about to get Woods winning, the Usos come out and they cause a DQ, which apparently somebody said online, this is technically the first singles match DQ loss that Roman has taken in his whole, like, almost, I think it's 500 days of the title. Yeah, like, normally
first
they
singles match DQ loss.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Huh. Like, normally, when the Usos interfere, it's normally like a ref bump or something. So he still manages to win, you know? So, yeah.
Well, I guess, the way that I would put this, too, is that it doesn't, I mean, we did at the end of all of it, as I'm sure we'd get to the image of Roman at the end being crowned with Woods' crown. But to me, it's less of Roman losing and more of King Woods continuing that winning streak.
Yeah,
that's exactly kind of what I feel like, because it does make him look strong. That's the thing.
It does.
Wins and losses do matter on paper. And this is a good way to make sure that, you know, King Woods, Xavier Woods, has that resume built up. Like, I did beat, most of the bloodline, which is really impressive.
Yeah, they did a great job. Like, this actually did save the outcome, because I was sitting here literally like, neither of them should lose. So it was a great DQ. It means Xavier technically won, but Roman still bent the knee technically. He was on his knee in the middle of the ring while the Usos took Xavier's crown and slowly placed it on Roman's head as he laughed. Fiendish smiled fiendishly. It was the ultimate form of disrespect. I was like, oh, like, boo. Like, I was so mad. I was like, don't you touch that man's crown. It is hard earned. He's wanted this all his life. It was such good theater.
But I think it's such a great setup, considering the fact that Survivor Series is 8 days away. This is all a really good setup and build toward that again. Mm-hmm. I not that I wish that Big E was there, but I wish it was teased like, where's Big E to even the odds? You know,
I thought he was going to come out. I thought he was. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this actually all makes me think of something else, which is, you know, for the better part of this year at different points, we've had rumors of Dwayne The Rock Johnson returning to the WWE, and it could very well happen at Survivor Series in theory. And so I wonder if that's happening, which only is unfortunate in the sense that, you know, it goes from New Day and Roman or Big E and Roman to like The Rock and Roman, and then maybe Big E becomes an afterthought. I'm so curious what's going to happen either way at Survivor Series, but especially with that rumor, which like The Rock, I think, says like, no, I'm not going to be at SummerSlam. I'm busy. I'm a star. But, I do wonder if that's a possibility. I think I said SummerSlam. I meant Survivor Series. You get it, people.
Yeah, I got it.
You know.
Yeah, to be quite honest, people were saying it online. They said, we know it won't happen, but I would much rather see Roman and the Usos, the bloodline, versus Big E and the New Day, you know, as the match at Survivor Series, than just a one-on-one between the two, or the Usos going up against what, RK-Bro? Like, I would technically, like, this whole brand warfare thing is kind of like annoying. Again, like we talked last week, there's no point. Who cares about brand supremacy? Y'all were just on opposite brands a month ago. Literally. So who cares? A month and a half? Like it doesn't matter. So I'd much rather you give me a fight that I actually care about. And there, no matter what, we're getting those the women's eliminator match and the men's eliminator match. So, you know, I kind of wish they just let that be the Survivor Series. You know, well, and then
the thing, the Survivor Series thing, and then everything else.
Everything else.
I've always loved when the whole pay-per-view has the theme. But I mean, the thing is, like, that is just how I grew up with wrestling. Yeah. Like, that's what I think most of us have experienced, where the whole pay-per-view has the theme, which is cool, because then you kind of have to see all these characters in that scenario. Maybe we'll get back to there one day. But
Matt, Extreme Rules had no Extreme Rules. Exactly. So like, there's no point.
Exactly. No, I know. Well, I know they could try. They could come back. That pisses me off. I'm not going to lie, because it's so like, it almost feels like they were like, okay, we're going to troll you on this pay-per-view, by literally giving you more Extreme Rules matches the next night on Raw, on NXT, yeah. on the next, like literally since then, we've probably seen more extreme matches there than anywhere else. So
exactly.
Choices.
It's definitely choices, but
it's choices.
I would much rather, because think about it. Like, they literally have built nothing. They've built nothing else for Survivor Series. They did put the placard for Roman versus Big E. We've got the eliminate, or we're about to talk about the teams here, but like Shinsuke versus Damian Priest, RK Bro versus the Usos. Like,
nobody wants that though.
They built Becky versus Charlotte. So
yeah, that's gonna be, I mean, see, that's the thing, and I we'll get to talking about them in a little bit, but there is like a lot, there's some interesting stuff potentially happening at Survivor Series.
Yeah, and I feel I feel like we don't need the whole card to do it, like, honestly.
No, and then it's really forced. And then it's really forced and awkward and like, okay, we don't care why. Like, because in a lot of cases, like, we've probably seen those matches. Like, oh, yeah, we just saw that match between, like, this person and that person. They're pitting against each other across brands. Like, mm-hmm. when they were on the same brand 2 months ago. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if there's any specific example of that, but we don't need it. We don't need it. Give time exactly. to the actual storylines if you can on the show.
Right. So
this actually ties in with a question, Mari.
Okay.
I know you weren't expecting me to prompt the question, but mm-hmm. we did have a question from the one, the only, Edmo Edward Morris. Oh, thank yeah. you so much, mm-hmm. Edmo. Shout out to you. Edmo. How do we feel about the fact that WWE announced their Survivor Series teams on social media?
This pissed me all the way the hell off. I think they did it like a few days after we had recorded too. It's so stupid. Like, over this whole thing, they're hustling backwards. Like, the way that they are treating Survivor Series, like, it's very much annoying as well. So like, we announce, like, oh, this is Twitter, then we're gonna slowly announce the names. This is not fun. Like, I don't care. Like, I'd much rather people fight to get into the team instead of just announcing the team. So they announced mm-hmm. both the teams. And then this week we have a few matches where it's like, oh, if you lose this, you're taken out of the team. If you, like, that's so annoying to me. Like, I hate it. I'd much rather we get this set up or.
Well, I think I just to kind of like even more surgically break that down. The thing that's annoying is when you don't really, you're not invested / you don't know who's on the teams at first. Mm-hmm. So you're like, okay, wait, who's on the team? Sorry, I didn't see your tweet
come through, right.
WWE.
Yeah.
And then you're not really. Like, you don't remember who's on the teams fully, and then they start switching it up. And by the time we get to Survivor Series, there's no storyline built up. You're not invested. Like, all mm-hmm. we know is that these teams just hate each other / we don't know their dynamics / why do we care? And it's just not, I don't know. I have to go back in my head because I really used to love Survivor Series and the teams and love the Survivor Series matches. Mm-hmm. And they've just kind of like taken a lot of the magic out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I completely agree. It just doesn't, it. And I think what really does take the magic out of it is the brand split, the draft being right before it.
Yes.
I think that there's no stakes.
There aren't storylines built into the matches. So something, oh man, I'll say, if anyone's listening and if you've been a longtime fan or if you've seen Survivor Series in the past and have your favorite Survivor Series matches and kind of stories in those elimination matches, just let us know, because I like, they really did used to be kind of iconic and something that you looked forward to. And it was really, Survivor Series truly was a big four pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. Now, not so much. It's not so exciting. But yeah, I think I agree with you. It's the draft as one thing, but they also just aren't investing time into building up creative storylines.
They're not.
What they do time and time again is this whole storyline of like, can they coexist? Can they do it? Which team's going to fall apart first? And, you know, I think there's something to be said for that, to potentially build stories after Survivor Series on each of the brands, if there's tension on the brands, but
that brings me to like, we'll talk about it more, but it, like, again, hustling backwards, like telling the Raw women's team that, oh, you guys fight together now, and then whoever wins is the number one contender to Becky's championship. Like, why would you not tell whoever the winning team is, like, you know, have whichever women's team, the SmackDown team or the Raw team, whoever wins, they will then be able to fight amongst themselves for the number one contendership. Why would you not put that on the line for Survivor Series as opposed to doing it before it? For like, it just, huh? It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. And also, the big question is like, what these teams are very strange because there's not a general manager like owning the brand. So from what I could tell, from what I understand, Sonya Deville and Adam Pearce are determining who's on each of the teams for each of the brands.
For each, yeah. Uh-huh.
So there's not even like the tension of like the two general managers or that's whatever true. The role is. Great people point. Against each other.
It
feels very lazy, and it's really frustrating because I don't know. I don't want to be bitter about it, but it is frustrating that there's like, what did they think that we like didn't need the Survivor Series tension? We didn't need the brand drama. I have so many questions, but if anyone has answers, you know where to find us.
Man. Yeah. So we say all that getting into the SmackDown women's portion of the Survivor Series team. So last week, like, we got to go back a little bit because last week, Naomi had a match with Shayna Baszler, right? And in it, Naomi pinned Shayna Baszler. She won, but Sonya Deville came out and restarted the match, said some technicality happened, restarted the match. What?
She said Naomi touched the rope. Naomi touched the rope.
Which should have been a break.
Which should have been a break.
Yeah.
Which, there was nothing against the rules. There's nothing against the rules.
But yeah.
Like, that's dumb for us to say because like, obviously that's the point.
It's wrestling. There's no rules.
But yeah, it was just a mess and it's cool. Like Naomi got choked out after the match.
Exactly.
Continues to be screwed by Sonya. Sonya, you got to give her credit. Mm-hmm. She's finding a lot of ways to
mess with Naomi.
Naomi. And so, Naomi's putting, I mean, she's dealing with it.
Exactly. And then we also had a little bit, we heard from Shotzi. She had previously attacked Sasha on the SmackDown before. And she said she plans to run over Sasha Banks. It's basically her heel turn promo. She looked great here. Very pretty.
She did have, it was a great promo. There was a lot of fire. Did you see what her necklace said?
No, what did it say?
Daddy.
Jesus. Are you serious?
No. What? Yes.
Oh, thank God.
I am serious.
Okay. Well, either way, I like Shotzi. I still don't like the heel turn here, especially when I thought she was so good and over as a babyface. So.
If she's excited about it, I'm excited about it.
There you go. So we already had tension with Shotzi and Tasha Banks. So when Sonya came out this week to to basically announce the women's SmackDown women's team, we got Shotzi Blackheart, of course.
Yeah.
We got Shayna Baszler, of course.
Mm-hmm.
We got Natalia.
Yes, her. Natalia Neidhart.
And I'm not going to say, of course, because she hasn't been on TV for like a month. So that was interesting.
I mean, who else?
And then finally, we got Aaliyah, which I was like, all right, fresh blood. A lot of people online were saying, oh, they need to pin somebody first. So Aaliyah, who finally made her main roster debut after about 7 years in development, she's put on the team. She's like the new hot, fresh, very like, oh yeah, look at me, I'm just happy to be here, baby face. But then Sonya,
yeah,
gives a big old introduction, says that Sasha Banks is the team captain. Sasha comes back after being away for a week. So this is 2 weeks, you know. And Sasha basically comes in and just like just comes right after like Shotzi. All hell breaks loose. But then like Naomi comes out as well, because Naomi's pissed because she's not on the team. She said it online, she deserves to be on the team. She's, you know, she ran down her credits and she said, I know the only reason why I'm not on the team is because Sonya Deville has it out for me. So this then descends into a 3-on-3 match where we got Natalya, Shotzi, and Shayna on one side, and then Sasha Banks, Aaliyah, and Naomi on the other side. What are you gonna say?
No, this happened so fast.
Yes, like,
they're all in the ring. Actually, just to break down a couple of things. So
please.
They're all standing in the line in the ring. Mm-hmm. And Shotzi obviously turned heel, gets booed. You have a Natty. They said she's a heel. She gets booed. Shayna, definitely a heel, gets booed. Aaliyah, I was like, don't boo her. Don't boo her. They weren't really sure what to think, but they didn't boo her.
Yeah.
And then it all just broke down into a huge fight. Aaliyah did an amazing job in this match.
Did.
I just think one thing that's so interesting is that the commentators are acknowledging the fact that she was in developmental for 7 freaking years. Like, she was in developmental for most of the decade. Think about that.
Yeah, no, I know, because I watched her on the Breaking Ground documentary that they did back in 2015.
When we were young.
Yeah. So good. And she was still like the underdog, oh my God, am I going to get fired person back then. Good for Aaliyah. I'm glad she still has a job. I'm not saying anybody should be fired, but she must have photos on somebody. That's so rude. But she did it really great here. She really did. She got the pin.
By the way, I love this. I saw this picture, which you can see on our YouTube, I just thought this was hilarious. But no, she did an amazing job. And
look,
she's really
Natty
good.
With the assist there too. Amazing.
Yeah. Oh my God. Look at that. Look at that athleticism.
Say what you want to say about Natty, how she just be popping up. And
she's so
don't know her
though.
Alignment. Don't know her alignment from day to day. She's the female Big Show. She is still. I mean, she goes back and forth, heel and face.
No, Sasha is the female Big Show.
No, why you say that? Oh, she, well, okay. You know. I see what you're saying. She does be getting up there and them turns. You're right. You're right.
I mean, she's more big in terms of the return. She likes to return a lot.
She does.
Was this technically a return for her? Was she there last week? Did they call it a return?
She wasn't there last week. That's funny. Oh, my God. But anyways, Natalya did a great job there. You need an in-ring general. You always do.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the good guys get the win. Aaliyah gets the pin. They also pointed out how Naomi was not on the team. Naomi spent the most of the match actually getting her butt whipped by Shayna and the rest of the heels. They literally just went in and out beating Naomi for most of the match. So, which I think is pretty good storytelling, because it kind of keeps the rapport between the other 5 women together. But it was great. But then, after the match, Sonya Deville congratulates Aaliyah on her pinfall and her first win on SmackDown and all that. And then she tells her she's not on the team anymore.
No, she says it's weird, because before that, she's like, hey, good job in that match. How long have you been friends with Naomi? And then Aaliyah's like, I don't like it's probably 7 years. Honestly, Aaliyah's been around so long, she probably can't even remember when they first met. So she's going through her head and then she's removed from the team. And then right. we do see her. She's heartbroken. But then we also see Naomi being told the news and also being heartbroken. Are these two friends?
I don't know.
Do like, they act, have that, they met?
It's so funny because when I was watching, so I said, weird. Oh my God, Aaliyah must be like, you know, shitting a brick. She's in the ring with such like great women. This is her first match. And my husband was like, she probably knows every single one of them. And I was like, oh snap. Yeah. Cause she's been very there for well. Like 7 years.
I mean, and, like that's the, I will say this, like in looking at even just the moment, seeing Naomi and Sasha embracing her.
Like, yeah. Especially Sasha. Because she yeah. was, her and Sasha were in NXT at the same time. Like Sasha is in that same Breaking Ground documentary that I was talking about. So they for sure like know each other and stuff. So this is such a cute picture.
Yeah, but it's also so sad.
It is, yeah.
It took so long. I hope it that they don't. I'm glad that they have her in this quote unquote like in this spot. I do want to comment that the roll up, the win, that was like the most unique roll up I think I've ever seen.
Yeah, very interesting. So
I don't understand.
Especially when we see so many roll ups. So
yeah. 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 So go back and watch that. It's like very difficult to explain, but it basically went, they went from a sharpshooter, Natty and Aaliyah, into the roll up situation where Aaliyah was basically like still in the sharpshooter with her legs, but like kind of holding Natty down under her. And it had to take an incredible amount of balance. I was impressed. I watched that like that one sequence at the end like three times in a row because I was amazed. So just want to say I am excited to hopefully get more of Aaliyah. I would love her to be women's champion within the next year if we could get that. But let's see. Let's see what they do.
Yeah.
Maybe she'll beat Charlotte.
And so I think because Sonya takes her off the team but doesn't tell anybody who's going to be replaced, who she's going to replace Aaliyah with, and I feel like it's gonna be
Sonya.
Yeah,
like it's not gonna be Naomi.
I know, but
do you think they're gonna try to get people's hopes up that it'll be Naomi?
That's what I think. That's what I'm saying, because I think like maybe next week she'll come up and she's like, "Yes, I took Aaliyah off the team, and now I'm about to announce who's gonna be replacing her." Me, you know, like not like that, but you know what I'm saying.
Who could they announce that would be more annoying?
That's what I'm saying. Like it has to be a bad guy, because at this point you can't replace her with Naomi, because you don't want Naomi catching that flag.
They, you know what they need to do? Sonya needs to come out, like you're saying, announce someone instead of it being Sonya. Because Sonya doesn't want to actually get in the ring and wrestle. That's just too much. Dana Brooke. Make Dana Brooke the replacement.
Dana Brooke is on Raw.
She's on Raw, but like she wants to be in the match. So like let's plug her in. People would be so annoyed. This could be Dana's heel turn. I could picture her cutting her little promo in her little Midwest accent. And
Dana's
becoming a future women's champion
face right now, I guess. I don't know. Who knows?
Sure. But I don't know about Doudrop.
No, it has to be Sonya. It has to be Sonya. And Sonya has to be like in the match, kind of like trying to like yell and direct people. You know, I cannot tell you. It could be
Xia Li, but I think Xia is supposed to be face.
That's true. That's true. It could be Xia. What'd you say?
Who cares? I was going to say, I feel like Xia... I don't know why I feel like Xia is supposed to be a face when she did.
No.
But we did get a package.
We got a package, and it looks very heelish.
Ooh, well, girl, hopefully it's not in this spot. I would like to be surprised by what they do to get out of this situation, or at least entertained would be nice.
Yeah, so. Entertained.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right. So after that, we got the men's team. The men's team has been announced. Oh, my God. I got to find that. So it's for the men's team. All right. Matt, pull up the men's team for me while I talk about
Survivor Series.
Yeah, the Survivor Series team.
There's a men's match.
Yeah, I know. Right.
I'm just kidding.
But Sami Zayn basically talked himself into having to face Jeff Hardy. Like, it was a very interesting night. Like, Sami was kind of like talking to himself and trying to, I think he was practicing like a team pep talk. And Jeff Hardy was there, like, leering in the background. And basically, yeah, it ended up turning into a challenge where it was Sami versus Jeff Hardy. If Sami loses, then Jeff Hardy gets Sami's spot on the team. And I just did not appreciate this because, of course, I love Sami Zayn.
Yeah.
And I mean, I guess it's still supposed to be this conspiracy theory thing of like, you know, he keeps getting screwed over. But yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't like it, but Jeff Hardy should be on the team, you know? So
yeah,
right now for this,
we love Jeff Hardy.
Yeah. For the SmackDown men's team,
yeah. And by the way, it's I saw a graphic that I'm gonna pull up for this, because again, we talked about the fact that things are shifting with the different teams. So let me pull this up on from WWE's Twitter, and here's the graphic up on our YouTube of the current team.
There it
from
is,
SmackDown and Raw, and Raw, and the teams against each other. So we're seeing for Team Raw, it's Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, Kevin Owens, Rey Mysterio, and Bobby Lashley. And then for Team SmackDown right now, it's Drew McIntyre, who was just on Raw, Jeff Hardy, who was just on Raw, Xavier Woods, who kind of was just on Raw, Madcap, or
what
not
do you mean?
Madcap.
Why is it Raw? Oh, yeah. Okay, Xavier Woods? Like, yeah, before the brand split. Okay, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Rasta. Yeah, actually, they all kind of swifted and shifted and met. It's a mess.
So
what?
This doesn't even make sense, because Jeff and Sami were already on the team together.
No, you're right. You're right. But see, Mari, this is WWE. This
what
is wrestling.
The hell?
And they decided to. Let me mansplain this, Mari.
Please, so, because I must have missed something.
WWE does things. And this is a thing that they did. They somehow had, I don't understand it, to your point. Sami and Jeff Hardy did they fought. And then Sami had to leave the team, so now there's an open spot. Basically,
like, I don't know why I thought, because I've only seen
Happy Corbin
once.
By the way, is the fourth member, and then again, there's an open fifth spot that was Sami's. So
like, because I really thought it kind of makes sense now, because I was like, why wouldn't they put Jeff Hardy on the team to begin with? And I kept thinking to myself, I want both of them on the team. So I really thought that Jeff was trying to get a spot onto the team, but he's already on the team, so he just took Sami off. Like, what is this? And then, well, I did see that like Von Wagner was there talking to
Von Wagner.
Yeah, I was talking to Adam Pearce, so maybe Von Wagner will be on the team, but he's from NXT. If y'all don't know, he's from NXT, and him and Kyle O'Reilly are kind of in a tag team. He's still from what I understand, Von Wagner is still a very young wrestler as well. So
from what
I
understand,
know,
he's still very much in NXT.
Yeah, this is weird. Yeah, I don't get it either. But
I mean, but
yeah,
like, a
so
lot.
Sami's off the team, and that's annoying.
We need to keep track We need to keep track of all of the weird things that happen in WWE that make no sense to us. Because it feels like there's more, like there's a lot of this weird, none of it makes sense happening right now.
WWE logic. And then finally for SmackDown, Charlotte cut a promo on Becky because they're building this Charlotte versus Becky for Survivor Series.
Has some very nice teeth, by the way. Have you ever noticed
that? Who? Charlotte?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She has some very See, look at those teeth.
Yeah.
They're very like what's the word I want? Very precisely aligned.
Aligned. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Good I'm not gonna say anything.
I'm not either.
Because they're nice. They are nice.
They are.
So
they did a good job.
Charlotte cuts a promo on Becky, which this again, all of this makes me think that that title thing was a work. I think it was a work. I don't think it was a shoot. If anything, it was might be a work shoot. But they're just gearing up for Charlotte and Becky. Charlotte, this promo was kind of funny. I'll give her that when she was like, they're going to be calling you Becky, uh-oh. And she actually got the crowd on her side.
I hated that. I was so annoyed. I was like in my notes. In my notes, I was more annoyed than I think I've ever been.
Yeah.
I wrote some things in my notes that I can't say on the podcast because I was so angry about this because it was such a face move,
promo,
like the call and response.
Yes.
Like, no, don't do that. Don't do that.
Okay,
you're not a face. But then again, Becky is a heel, so I'm just
they're
confused.
Both heels, technically.
They are they absolutely are, but Becky is also a heel, so it's not as bad as it would be if she were a face, but
this is probably like time for us to talk about this because I'm glad you noticed this too. Like this felt very much like going into business for yourself type situation. In a sense that Charlotte, again, all of that stuff that leaked about the title exchange, we don't know what's real. We don't know what's fake. That's why when people kept referencing that Charlotte said that she wanted to put the belt on Bianca, I was like, I don't necessarily believe that. I just
think that's a lie.
Me too. And I think she just knows that's what we want to hear. That's, you know, and then in this promo, she even says something to the effect of like, you know, that Bianca is a great superstar and that she deserved to have the title or something like that. It's like, I agree, but why are we like, it felt like she's trying to get brownie points. Like you said, it's like, this felt like a face promo. When Charlotte's supposed to be in the heel in this situation, it comes off very like Hulk Hogan, you know, like very Hulk Hogan-y, where it's like,
she's not the face. Like,
yeah,
look at her face. Literally looking at her face, you could tell that. And I'm not saying the structure. I'm saying like, if you looked at her face in the promo, if you look at her face in the
her expressions
on WD. Yes, that's what I mean, Mari.
We're
of
showing
course.
Them here on YouTube. Yeah.
Her expressions, which you're seeing on the YouTube.
Very heely.
You could see they're big. They're big. Mm-hmm. They're heelish. And she's also dressed like Cruella de Vil. Or no, she's not. She's dressed like one of the Dalmatians. So this is a heel promo. This is a heel moment. Mm-hmm. But
it
I
is.
Just don't get it.
But
I'm confused.
It's a heel moment, but she also still wants like the crowd to like her. So it's like it's really weird. It really is. While also saying stuff like I'm a star maker when it's just patently false. If the person who needs to add star maker to their like list of accomplishments is Bailey. Like Bailey needs to put that right after the role model. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Then Sasha, then Becky, then Charlotte. Charlotte is like the bottom of the star makers, but she does have a point. Becky has been on that trajectory ever since her run as the man that she has not been helping the talent as much as she did previously.
The thing I hate, like, this is what actually made me angry in the promo is the fact that she's doing the whole Becky uh-oh thing, which is so cute, you know, and the fans love to do it, go along with it. And she says, I don't know how she phrased it, but basically, Becky uh-oh came back too soon from maternity leave. And that's where I got angry, because I'm like,
dog,
what are you
keep going?
That, dude, that's not okay. Like, you need
Yeah.
You need to not do that or say that, or like get the fans to cheer along to that, which is really the thing that made me angry. I'm like, I'm over these fans. We need to get out. I think they were in Virginia, but we could go anywhere else.
We should come up to DC. We should not be telling women what to do with their bodies after they've given birth to full blown.
Yeah, but like as a with a face kind of tactic of the interaction, that wasn't cool. That was just very annoying. And you know what? Who cares if it was a work or a shoot a couple weeks ago?
Yeah.
To me, I mean, I wouldn't like Charlotte.
None of this makes me want to watch this match. Like, I don't care. Like, I've never really cared about Becky versus Charlotte matches personally. Like, they just never, they don't do it for me.
Yeah, I think that like it's just uncomfortable. It's just very uncomfortable. And the match will be uncomfortable to watch, because I'm sure people love the drama heading into it. And I'm sure that they don't hate each other as much as it might seem or be set up. Like, they're professionals. Like, the thing is, you know, they're not going to kill each other, hurt each other on purpose, right? And so they'll make it work. But yes, very difficult to watch all of this. And then you have Toni Storm who comes out.
Yes. Yeah. Toni Storm,
and
Storm comes out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't really know. I was kind of caught off guard by that. I don't know why.
Me too.
It's just weird timing. Before it Survivor Series, we're just like, we did have the Shotzi moment a couple weeks ago. Well, we had, I should say, we had the Sasha moment where Sasha came out a couple weeks ago. And we had Shotzi follow and come out after that. And then now we have Toni Storm coming out. So are they just rolling out everybody that could potentially challenge?
I would say that they're doing a really good job of showing the SmackDown women's roster. Like, I really love that 3-on-3 match. I thought it was really great. And I think finally having Toni Storm on SmackDown, finally, as people have been like begging to see her for months now, is a great tactic and a great move. But my guess is they're moving away from Sasha versus Charlotte.
Yeah.
Which is fine with me.
We don't need that again.
We don't need that.
Not now. Yeah.
So, but unfortunately, that means Toni is the one who's the sacrificial lamb, because again, Charlotte, you fooled me once. Shame on me. Fooled me twice. You know, whatever that saying is. She fooled me with that Rhea storyline. I really think they could have catapulted Rhea to the heavens after that feud. And it did not. It did not happen. So Toni is next up for the chopping block, I guess. So
chopping block. We'll well, I mean, hopefully not the chopping block.
We shall see. But I like the fire. I'm glad she's on our screens. Of course, Charlotte runs from the challenge. We did get a fiery promo from Toni afterwards, talking about how she's going to prove herself. Typical babyface stuff. So we'll see what they do with the SmackDown women's division after. I think it's good that they're building Sasha versus Shotzi, because I'm here for that. Can't wait to see what they do with Aaliyah. The Sonya and Naomi stuff is the best thing going for me right now. Mm-hmm. And I eventually want Shayna in the title picture too, but I think it's a good sign that it's not happening now, because unfortunately I don't see Charlotte losing that title for a while. So
I have a question about that though, because do you think, you know, sometimes like the dirt sheets will talk about what the networks want. And like, obviously the networks, I'm sure, would want Becky on the different brands. They want Becky prominently featured. It makes sense, especially with her return. Do you think that they're really into Charlotte in a similar way? Like, ooh, we want Charlotte featured. We want Charlotte as the champion. We want Charlotte as the main one on the show. Because I guess Charlotte's like,
I don't know. To be quite honest, I don't know, because she, I mean, I, if I was you, when she was on USA, you know, on Raw this earlier this week, it made sense you would want the belt on her, because again, the next Asuka has been healing it out. Rhea is technically not a superstar yet, and she will never be the way they keep booking her. And that women's division, we talked about it so much, like the Raw women's division was truly lacking. So it, in that regard, yeah, you want Charlotte to be the face of your brand. Becky comes back. USA prominently wanted Becky. We know that. And we said it a few weeks ago, that rumors were they really wanted Bianca because of her work with like the Olympics and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Now we know for a fact that Fox like refuses to give up Sasha, like refuses. And we don't know where Bailey stands when it comes to that as well. Like, it's just not, I haven't heard anything about that as well, but she, you know, she did helm the brand along with Sasha for a good year. So Charlotte, holding the title on Fox. I mean, she does have that name recognition, so I don't think Fox is upset, and they still have Sasha. So, and they still have Roman. That's the biggest thing. Fox still has Roman as well. So, yeah. I don't think the corporations care too much. I think that they've all gotten what they wanted in the each respective like men's divisions and women's divisions. So I think this is purely Charlotte holding the belt right now is purely on creative. That's what that I say all that to say that I think this is a creative choice here.
Well, you said it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So
I'm just like, I'm looking at this. Yeah. Moving on from Charlotte. Moving on.
Yes.
It is. I will just say the thing that's on my mind, which is that it is unfortunate that there's not someone as champion who could help elevate other stars.
Exactly.
Along the way. Like, look at where Nikki A.S.H. is. Look at where Rhea Ripley is. Look at the list goes on. So,
yeah. Exactly. And that's the thing, like, and I've kind of been wanting to say this, but it's very Rock Triple H era style booking, because like Rock puts over Goldberg, right? Sasha and Bailey do everything in their power to make Bianca a super mega star, and she is.
Yeah.
And then Triple H goes over on Goldberg, you know, Becky and Charlotte go over on Bianca both twice in like a span of a month. They use the star that they built to get them both the heat to where they're at now.
Yeah.
Very annoying. So the only bright part of that is I as of right now, I think Bianca can hold her own. It doesn't seem like her popularity has dipped since she's been losing. You know, again, I've expressed I didn't like her losing as much as she did during that weird, awkward brand split part where the brands were after the draft, you know. But so far going into, we'll talk about it, but I think she's been doing good or whatever. Yeah. So it's just unfortunate to see. You're right. Like, I can't take the champion serious as to making stars, you know.
So. Yep.
When you have it like legit, Becky, you know, Becky has only lost like once, like, or even if it was like disqualification, I can't remember when her and Sasha, did she lose to Sasha? Yeah, she lost to Sasha. That was the first time she had been pinned in 2 years or something like that. So like, anyways,
whatever. It's cool.
Yeah. It's yes. Fine. So we will finish talking about Survivor Series in WWE in a minute. But until then, let's move on.
Let's move on.
All right. So, our next highlights are for AEW. Full gear will be happening today. So we're not going to do full predictions because unfortunately we weren't able to record earlier to do like a predictions podcast for them. So by the time you hear this, more than likely full gear will be over. So we're just going to give our thoughts on, I'm going to read out the card. Yes. And then we're going to give our thoughts on like some of our favorite matches that we're looking forward to seeing tonight or, you know. So, of course, We have for the AEW World Championship, we have Kenny Omega, who's the current champ, versus Hangman Adam Page.
Yeah.
We have the AEW Women's Championship match, Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, the current
DMD.
Champion, versus Ty Conti.
Yeah.
We have a World Championship Eliminator Tournament final between Bryan Danielson versus Miro. So whoever wins this.
Yes,
will be the number one contender to the belt. We then get CM Punk versus Eddie Kingston in a very heated feud here. Mm-hmm. We will also get the Inner Circle, Chris Jericho, Jake Hager, Sammy Guevara, Santana, and Ortiz versus the Men of the Year, Ethan Page and Scorpio Sky, with the American Top Team, Junior Dos Santos, Andre Arlovsky, and the head of American Top Team, the mouthpiece, if you will, Dan Lambert. We will also get the AEW Tag Team Championship match between the Lucha Brothers, who are current champs, versus FTR. Is FTR still the AAA champions?
Let me tell you. Yes, because the thing is, these, it's been so interesting, though, because I think, I don't think that they've, I know that last week they were.
Yes, because they used the belts against.
Yeah, they are still the AAA World Tag Team Champions. That exactly. That's what so happens. Annoying. They use the belts against them. You know.
Okay. And then Pac and Cody Rhodes with Arn Anderson. Pac. Yeah. Versus Malakai Black and Andre El Idolo. And they have Jose the Assistant with them. We then have Darby Allin versus MJF and Christian Cage and Jurassic Express versus the Super Click, which is Adam Cole and the Young Bucks. So, few things I definitely want to talk about. Just a few. We'll keep it brief because, again, you'll probably have already watched the show and we don't want to sound too stupid
on the podcast. Not too. We're okay with like a decent level of stupid. You know us. If you're at this point in the episode, unless you just skip to this point, then you don't know it. But if you've heard this episode or any others, you know that's us. So,
yes. So, I of course, I've been saying it, you know, every time we talk about AEW, I am very much excited about Kenny Omega versus Hangman Adam Page. Again, I understand Kenny Omega is a great wrestler. I understand that. I have not been interested in a lot of his feuds. That's just me. That is okay to say.
Ooh.
This is the one feud that I have been waiting for 2 years. Remember,
I mean, that's the thing, Mari. I think what you're saying is probably the popular opinion, I would assume.
I did not say it was an unpopular opinion. I just said it was my opinion.
It is her opinion, but I agree. I mean, that's the thing. Like, we are, you know, the way that AEW books things versus the way that other companies that I don't need to name book things is just different. So we've been waiting since like pre-pandemic for Hangman. I think JR says Hangman. So I'm going to say Hangman Adam Page. We've been waiting for this. Like I have a note that Page was the first Casino Battle Royal winner, which feels like that was ages ago.
Forever ago.
And they kind of have like held back on pulling the trigger on him. Obviously, he was out for All Out this year because of pregnancy related reasons. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, I think this is his moment. I assume
I'm so excited.
The crowning moment.
I hope.
And there's so much. And they're already setting up other things around him, like other people who he could feud with. We have this other match that's happening with Miro and Daniel Bryanson, Bryan Danielson.
Bryan Danielson, my bad.
No. I don't. Did you mess that up?
I can't remember.
I just messed that up.
I think we both.
Daniel Bryanson and Bryan Danielson are both great wrestlers, but I like Bryan Danielson more. And so we're going to see like that person take on the winner. And I think I'd really have to see Miro versus Adam Page next.
That could be cool.
That could be cool. But was that the entire card, Mari?
That's all I had.
That sounds about right.
Yeah. So, I will talk a little bit more about the AEW Women's Championship match a little bit later, but Britt versus Ty. Again, that eliminator tournament match, like Bryan Danielson, just the way his promos have been in AEW, it's just been such a quiet confidence, just the like, I'm going out there to prove myself. It's nothing new. He's not reinventing the wheel, but gosh darn it, he makes me happy every time I see him, every time he talks, and every time he wrestles. So I just love him. I can't wait to see this match. I guess, do you want to talk about the match you're looking forward to? And I think we even have a comment from Job Has a Squadcast.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, the match that I'm looking forward to most is the Eddie Kingston CM Punk match. And I mean, I think I'd be looking forward to that anyway. I'm really fascinated by Eddie Kingston's run in this company just because it does feel so improbable. Like the day that he popped up, I think it was in the match with Cody in an invitational. I don't remember if that was earlier this year, if that was last year.
It's been a minute.
What time? Yeah, that's probably early last year. Who remembers anyway?
Who remembers?
But like the fact that he's still around is so powerful. And then the real story behind all of that is that he was just in such a difficult place. Like he was wrestling to make money and stay alive, basically. And now he's back in love with wrestling. And the fact that like it's taken this long for Eddie Kingston to be like at the level that he's at is amazing. Mm-hmm. That man cuts promos like none other. The fact that he could make CM Punk kind of look like I'm not saying this was intentional, but like make CM Punk look like a chump on the mic was pretty impressive. And I just want to see how this match goes because there was a lot of fire between them. But I don't know. It seems to me like Punk might be working a little bit more heel here, especially because the people love Eddie Kingston and that's never going to change. But I am pumped. What's the comment from Job Has a Squadcast on?
So Alex wrote in, can we talk about the genius of pivoting CM Punk in this angle with Kingston, making him AEW's John Cena and essentially everything he stood against when he was in WWE? The storytelling is just fantastic stuff. Thank you, Alex, for leaving us a question or comment. It really is. It's like I did like this feud. In one of my other Facebook like wrestling groups, somebody said, "Oh, how have you liked CM Punk's run so far?" Like for me, it's just been like meh. It's like he said he was going to come in, work with some young talent, and that's it. And it's just like cool, whatever. But this really has like really made me invested. Like Eddie Kingston basically calling CM Punk a piece of crap, and insinuating that he's a bad guy and that his nature is to be a heel, and CM Punk doing the condescending, like, you know, nice guy. It was definitely shades of like cult leader Punk, like kind of peeking out there, like the no, I'm the good guy. Believe me, I'm the good guy type thing. And it is, and Alex put it in a great way. They are kind of framing it as CM Punk kind of trying to be the savior of AEW in a sense after just being away. And Eddie Kingston is the perfect foil for this. And he even says in one of the packages, like, I don't even care if I beat you. I don't even care if I win. I just want to beat you up. And it's so much fire. Yeah. And then they have the clips of them back in the day, 15 years ago, when they were in a small wrestling promotion. And this is the one. And everybody's been saying, like, they want CM Punk to turn heel. They want CM Punk to turn heel. And if you're going to do it, I love an angle behind it. And this is a perfect angle for him to turn heel instead of just one day coming out and, now I'm bad. Like, I really do like this. And this is going to this could be the match here, you know?
Yeah.
And it's so hard to say on a stacked card.
Yeah. I would add, I'm not even too clear. To me, it didn't seem like Punk was... That was not heel CM Punk that we saw in the promos. So it kind of seemed like in the reality of things, that Punk comes off as more of a heel, because he is more of a heel than Eddie Kingston. Mm-hmm. Like, it, everything, no one was saying anything that wasn't true or that was taking shots at anyone else.
Well,
in,
CM
that,
Punk,
in their promos.
CM Punk did say, like, I held you to a high standard back then and you failed. Like,
I mean, I don't know if that's not
like,
true.
Where's the lie?
I don't know if that's a lie.
Oh, that's,
I mean,
hilarious.
I think when I would imagine, I would say that Eddie Kingston is doing the possibly the best work of his career. I guess it's hard to know, but I would imagine that that could be the case. And, you know, he has really gone through a lot. He has had demons and different things that he's gone through, which he's acknowledged. And so I feel like it's fair to acknowledge that, as opposed to, you know, some of like the other WWE style cheap shots, like, you came back too soon from being pregnant, like, from having a baby. Like, this is, I thought it was fair. It just wasn't nice, is kind of the big difference to me. Like, you don't have to bring all that up and go to his history. He's been through a lot. But what's cool is that Eddie Kingston's going to eat up anyone on the mic, and he eats up everybody on the mic, and we love it. We love that about him.
Exactly. One other thing, I just
chomp,
like,
chomp, chomp, yum, yum, yum.
The Lucha Eating Brothers versus FTR. The one thing about that is, like, I just asked you the question. I do not like the fact that they have the AAA championship belts. Like, how often are they defending that? Like, I'm like really annoyed that AEW like will take other companies' belts and just have it like on their roster so that they could, it could be like a declaration. Like, could you imagine if WWE did that? Could you imagine if WWE let their wrestlers go to Japan, grab
but
Japan's,
that would be great.
Like,
well,
I don't like it personally.
Correction.
It's just me.
Yeah, that, for, I'll correct myself there. That could be great if it's executed the right
way.
To
me, I never like when titles are absent for long periods of time.
Whenever
Brock would win the title and then be gone for like a year, and then like the rest of the roster have to like pretend like their belt isn't missing, like, that annoys me. And so that's what it kind of seems like with FTR and the AAA belts, how Kenny with all three of the AAA, the TNA belt, like, I mean, of course Kenny was actually doing a little bit more defending, but it's still, it just pisses me off. Like, I really don't really like that. But
how often, like, do they have the opportunity to even defend in AAA? Because I would imagine that they would, like, I would be surprised if they're, I don't know. This is a conversation for someone
else. This is a conversation.
Who's a AAA fan? Because I think your point's well taken. Because
you're saying AAA doesn't have like weekly television.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, how often do they even have shows? Is my
question. How often do they have shows?
Now,
I will say that's a great point, but
the thing that I appreciate, though, is that from my perspective, at least, like, we are being exposed to, like, AAA is in our conversation right now, and Impact was in the conversations that we had a couple months ago when Christian won the Impact Championship on AEW TV, right?
Yeah.
And so it is good to me from like a brand recognition standpoint, but I hear you.
Okay.
Like, I hope that these people are actually present on the other shows. We don't have time to watch the other shows.
But even then,
I hope,
and like you said, even if they're not present on other shows, and you pointed it out, but how many times do we see TNA wrestlers come over to AEW to defend that championship? You know what I'm saying? Like, at the very least, you're not going to be showing up on their show. Have somebody else. You know, that's the whole point of that Forbidden Door thing, you know? And from what I understand, people like how they've used it. Other people don't. I think they haven't used it for the women enough is like the complaint, but that's just me. It's just a pet peeve. It's not that AEW is doing it, but it's just always been a pet peeve of mine when the titles go missing. And
I mean, there's a
world. Just seems like so many titles, like,
but also the titles are not staying on the people who entered with them from the promotion. So, like, it'd be one thing if FTR fought for the championships and lost, but they're the champions, the AAA champions. And we're seeing that a lot more with AEW talent in other promotions, which, I think they're positives. also probably negatives, but I don't have a huge issue with it.
Yep. I think that's it. I think it's, we just wanted to hit the highlights, say what we're excited for. We will be watching. Well, I will be watching. I don't know about Matt.
No, I will watch. Maybe not live. But I will watch. Because I am excited about the card overall. And, I mentioned the Eddie Kingston CM Punk match. Mm-hmm. But there's just more. I don't even know. There's a lot of action happening here. The Inner Circle American Top Team match is kind of an interesting one.
That is interesting. The American Top Team. It's very weird.
Dan Lambert's going to get beat up by Chris Jericho.
And Dan Lambert is a great mouthpiece, though. He's such a great mouthpiece.
He does annoy me, so that means
exactly.
He's probably great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, what a show. It'll be good. It'll be a strong pay-per-view. I wonder if it will surpass All Out for me. I need to go back and watch All Out again, because that to me is probably still the best show of the year, possibly. But maybe this will surpass it and should be a great one to watch.
Sucks that they only have like one women's
I think they'll have another women's. I think there's another women's
on a
match.
Pre-show.
Yeah, it's not a
I
big.
I think it's Nyla Rose and Jamie Hayter versus Thunder Rosa.
And off the top of my head.
Yeah, that's off the top of my head. And Sheeta.
Sheeta. Mm-hmm. There we go.
Yeah.
There we go. What a match.
All right. Okay, so that's it for AEW. Again, all of the highlights we talked about can be found in the show notes below. Let's just slide right in here into Raw.
Slide into Raw.
No, I'm just playing. Raw was really good. I've noticed a lot with AEW is doing it. Raw and NXT have been doing it a lot, interweaving your stories. Like AEW interwove like the FTR and Lucha Brothers story with the Cody and Malakai Black versus Pac. Yeah, you know what I'm saying. They've interwoven those storylines, and it's been really good. And so on Raw, we kind of get the same thing here. So Seth Rollins, basically, we just see the breakdown of KO over a night, like just a complete breakdown for him. And I would encourage everybody to go to MythGifts at MythGifts on Twitter.
Do we have a sponsor?
No, we don't have a sponsor, but they are really good at they really follow Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, and they're really good at breaking down storylines using GIFs and explanation. And they are so spot on with this Kevin storyline. It's really good because Seth Rollins, you know, we open with Kevin Owens trying to convince Big E that, like, you know, I didn't know, I'm still a good guy, you don't believe Seth Rollins. And Seth Rollins is just saying, like, Kevin Owens is the worst. He talks about all of the people that Kevin Owens has turned his back on, Sami Zayn, Jericho, every tag team partner that he's ever had, you know.
Yeah.
And it's just like full scale storytelling. And, you know, Big E's mad because Kevin Owens teamed up with the New Day at one point and turned on them, you know? But Kevin is trying to convince himself and everybody else that he's a good person. He can change. Like, he's not a piece of crap. And it's so interesting, and it's so good, and it's so good storytelling, because he seems very tortured because it seems like he really wants to be good, but it's just not in his nature, in a sense. And we got it was mind games, basically. Seth Rollins was playing with him all night. Kevin Owens was then running around asking everybody if he's a good guy. He asked R-Truth at one point. It was so random. Biggie,
so weird.
Yeah, it was
like,
weird.
Why? This is a, just a, I think I understand what happened, but I just feel so thrown off by this. Like, does Kevin Owens need to ask? Well, number one, in what world does Kevin Owens care if he's a good guy? But also in like, it also, why does he have to check with other people to see if he's a good guy?
Very true.
Like, I don't, it's like fishing for compliments.
Well, but yes, fishing for compliments, but also having a like a personal crisis of like who you are.
And so you go to, you ask R-Truth.
You ask R-Truth, right? But Big E also had a match with Chad Gable, which, Jesus, Chad Gable, I don't know if you know, he got like ripped. Like, Chad Gable is ripped. Now.
Is that how he managed to? Well, that was like a very interesting match, by the way.
It was a great match. Chad,
he got a lot of offense.
He got a lot of offense in, which, I mean, a lot of people might be like, oh, he shouldn't be getting in a lot of offense against your WWE champion. But again, the champion made Gable look good while also still winning. And it made me notice. I was like, yo, Gable really got like leaner. He really did. If you look back, he got leaner, but more muscly. Very muscly.
Leaner, but more muscly.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't really appreciate that about him. Maybe because like it's been a gradual progression.
Yeah,
this
because
man remember, is a thick, he did get kind of thick.
Yeah, so like it's weird, like because I think Gable used to like he was bigger, like short and like definitely thicker with muscles, but now he like seems with very toned. T's. Yeah, like
yeah.
Yeah, like he trimmed it. Like there was, he wasn't fat. I'm not saying that, but he like he trimmed up. Yeah, all muscle. It seems like he's all muscle.
All muscle. And you know what? I was just most impressed that he had the offense that he did in the match. Like there was one move where he had Big E almost like an, I'll call it an electric chair position, where Big E was on his shoulders, and I was like, wait, isn't Chad Gable supposed to be a small wrestler? I always forget that he's not, like, you know what I mean? Like a small
he's
character.
Small. Yeah. Like
they, he's not they, small. But
they hammer like, over the head that he's small, but he's really not like that small. And that's kind
and
of
he's
what
very
I
strong. And I liked that he had that position. And so hopefully that helps him out. It is kind of funny too, because like, there were so many singlets in this match. That was the thing that occurred to me where I was like, wow, I feel like this is like a Olympic wrestling right now. Like we're getting Otis with his little singlet that maybe could be a little bit bigger. or and you know, Gable jacked, you got Big E jacked, all of that. So you know what? I thought that this was kind of a cool little, this surprised me. I wasn't expecting it, but I'm glad that Gable is getting some shine. And I don't know what they did. They wrecked Otis over the last year and a half, but that's a whole other story.
Yeah. And at the end of the match, after Big E beat Gable, we got a stare down between Big E and Otis, and that's like what the official WWE account tweeted. So of course we had to quote tweet with the big meaty men's slapping meat video. And then after Big E came out to watch the Seth Rollins Kevin Owens match, and such a good match. Again, Kevin Owens and Seth Rollins have great chemistry together. They always have. This match was like, really was a barn burner. And then Kevin Owens gets distracted long enough to get counted out of the match, which sucks because it was just such a good match.
That was not, I mean, that's kind of what happened, but not really. I mean, Big E got in his way.
Big E,
And I have to say, this was like the goofiest, like, not, it wasn't that goofy. We have seen much goofier, even this week, I'm sure. But this was so goofy where, you know, you could just tell that something's about to happen because, especially on the outside, they'd love to do this where, like, the person who's watching the match is just a little bit too close.
Yeah.
And I feel like Big E could have taken a note from the fans. Like, stand back.
Yeah.
Actually, take a note from Vince McMahon in the early 90s, late 80s. He had that song. Stand back. Stand back. Do you know what I'm talking about? that song?
No, I don't. But keep going. Sure.
We'll get back to that. He should have stood back, is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And I feel like this was like masterful by Seth Rollins in the sense that he was lying all night, we assume.
Yeah.
Right? Is that what we're made to, we have to believe?
That what? That KO is a good person, actually?
KO, well, now it's debatable. But he wasn't conspiring with Seth Rollins.
Oh, right. Yeah, definitely. That's, yeah.
But, yeah, the fact we kind of get to that point that, that he just snapped finally was really interesting.
Yeah. I mean, like, he snapped. He then had a promo after Raw. And it's just like, I love it because it's still tortured. It still feels like, why am I doing this? But this is what I have to do. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, like, I loved it. I love KO. And I'm going to be really sad if, he really does end up, you know, leaving after his contract or whatever the deal might be. But I am looking forward to see wherever he goes, because when he first debuted in WWE, I went back and watched his clips of him, when he was Kevin Steen and it was Kill Steen Kill and all of his really brutal matches. Them joints was brutal. So and he has from what I understand, he has a pretty good relationship with the Young Bucks. So
A lot of people, I think because he was such an indie mainstay for so long.
Yeah,
I'm kind of on the opposite end of you with someone like him. I mean, if he would want to leave, I would love that for him. And I wouldn't say that for everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, like there are a lot of people
who want him, release, but for not him, because for
me. Well, I love it for him and. Yeah. Wait. I love it for him and for me, because I think that he's going to land on his feet. Absolutely. Wherever
no matter where he goes.
I think what you were talking about with Bryan Danielson and just how happy it makes you to see him on your screen, I think is a huge reflection of the fact that he is just so happy compared with what we've seen. Not only from him, but just from a lot of people. And so I'm kind of the mind of if you could make a career somewhere else, go do it and be happier. Please do what you can. It's a rough time to be in WWE, I would imagine, especially with different releases and your friends being let go. And so sometimes it's nice to have more control over your career. And I think that If it's time for him, even though we've had rumors of him leaving for years. If it's time, well, we'll see it. But it sounds like he's going to be around. He's up on Big E, so it looks like they have some plans for him.
All right. So next up, we got the Raw Women's Survivor Series team, and this is what I was alluding to earlier. So for the Raw Women's Survivor team. Yeah. We got in the back all the S names. Sonya Deville.
Yeah.
Sonya Deville was basically congratulating the Raw women's team of Bianca Belair, Rhea Ripley, Liv Morgan, Carmella, and Zelina Vega. But then we had Doudrop, Nikki A.S.H., and the aforementioned Dana Brooke were mad. They're like, it's not fair. Why am I not on this team? You know, and again, this is what happens when you announce the team on Twitter, and you don't allow these people to win to get in. And then in the meantime, we got Sonya making the announcement that the women on the team will have the Fatal 5-Way this week, and then whoever wins will be able to get the match against Becky, which then made Doudrop stand up and be like, why does Bianca get another chance at Becky or another shot to get a shot at Becky? It's not fair.
It's like, why don't you eat your damn Cheerios, Doudrop, because this is none of your business, and you need to stick to what you do best, which is not Bianca.
Yes.
Bianca, exactly. You're not going to be Bianca Belair.
Yes.
So stay out of her business.
And we also had like Carmella saying something about Nikki ASH, and then Rhea having to check Carmella, like, don't talk about my partner like that. Meanwhile, Queen Zelina Vega is just in the front, just waving, like, with her crown on.
I'm just upset waving. That she wasn't, like, saying more in this promo, because I want that accent. I want that Brooklyn accent mixed with that British accent, back and forth.
Oh, God, brilliant. No!
I love it. That's my favorite thing. I could listen to that all. Ooh, I
just
could,
the switching back.
I'm just picturing like sleep sounds. Like sometimes, you know, you want to listen to an ocean. Sometimes you want to listen to a river. Sometimes you want to listen to like raindrops. I want to listen to Zelina's voice, and that could put me to sleep. And I mean that in the best way possible.
Really, it's very really hard. It's really smooth. Hard for that accent.
Think about it. It's smooth. Think about it. You hear it in the back of your head, right? Like the Brooklyn accent, so but bad. Also the British accent.
The two accents that fight each other the most. It seems like.
It's great. Like, I actually am just happy they have something for her is really what it is. She's so talented.
So hilarious.
And has definitely been overlooked a lot until now, basically. So,
yeah. So
we have that.
We get this match, the Fatal Five Way, which honestly, like, the Raw Women's team looks stacked, yo. Like, that's such a good team. But
is it a good
team?
It's weird. Is it a good team? Mean,
like a team. Probably
it's
not.
A good team, though. It's a lot of good individuals.
Individuals, yes.
I will say the thing that, like, to your point, the thing that I actually appreciate about this team that for me makes it a really solid team is, like, look who's on the team. Rhea Ripley. You get Liv Morgan. Mm-hmm. You get Zelina Vega. You get Bianca Belair, Carmella. A lot of people who are not, like, who were not the featured players a year ago. Zelina wasn't even in the company as of probably, like, today a year ago, because that's when she was released and then came back. Bianca, not featured. Rhea, not really on the main roster. Truly.
Well, they weren't. Bianca was on Survivor Series last year.
No, but she wasn't, like, she wasn't featured in the way that she went on to be, right? Yeah. She was on the glow up, which was cool.
Yeah.
Again, you referenced the Bayley feud, and that was kind of bubbling up around, starting to bubble up.
That
around,
started at Survivor Series.
Yeah, around this time. Mm-hmm. So I just liked that it was a mix of people who were like either fairly new or not featured. And then you had Carmella, who's been around and been featured for a couple of years, but like not at that legend level, like the horsewomen. So this was a little interesting.
They all ended up being heavily featured this year, you know, earlier this year. So
exactly.
Yeah, and then they have Becky on commentary, which is like okay. Becky is Nobody wonderful on commentary, that. But I really wanted to watch the match, to be quite honest. But Becky
did
a great job of putting the other women over while consistently saying Liv Morgan does absolutely nothing. So I kind of very much orchestrated who was going to win that match. Like she said, at one point she says there are a lot of like history makers in that match. And she starts to go on and list people's credentials. And then she said, except for Liv Morgan, like specifically.
I mean,
So Bianca hits the KOD on Zelina, which, talk about having something on a loop. Put that on a loop. Put Bianca KODing Zelina Vega on a loop, because Zelina, I swear, is the only one who really takes that move.
You have said this before. I have said this before.
And I love it. So, and then as she was pinning Zelina, Doudrop comes out and hating.
Yeah, I mean, why are you like this? Actually, look, I'm happy with anything to happen. Like anything could happen in kayfabe, and I think we'd be okay with it.
Yeah.
Why is Doudrop mad now? Like,
yeah. So, like, right? Is she a heel now? But I love it. I do like it. I like this. Like, man, Bianca's had too many turns, and
so you attack Bianca. because you're mad. Because
you're mad.
She's had opportunities.
Exactly.
Because she's given herself those opportunities.
Because she's Dewdrop.
Where's Dewdrop? Get Dewdrop in this podcast right now. Call her up. She's probably
really
not
like
doing
this.
Anything. Call her up.
Dang, the shade.
I mean, where's the lie?
But anyways, Dewdrop interferes. I think what happened? Like Carmella tried to get Zelina.
Yeah,
like, pin Zelina,
I don't
but
even
then
know if we
live. Did a roll up or something?
Yeah, I don't even know. I want to say we didn't even see what Carmella did, but Carmella was going for the pin. Basically, I think when we looked up from Bianca and Dewdrop.
Yeah.
And it's so disorienting. WWE needs to really stop doing this. No DQ.
Oh.
Like, what are there are no rules.
Yeah.
Like, if we had I'm so glad we don't have a guest on this week because then we have to explain to them. Well,
it's a fatal five way, so there's no DQs. Yeah.
Yeah, but like, why not just get a steel chair and go to town?
Hmm. Good point.
I'm just saying, like,
very, very good point.
I don't know who would have done that because we don't have any true heels other than like Zelina and Carmella on there.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I just don't like, to me, that it's like another thing that kind of just makes the wrestlers look dumb. Like, oh yeah, we don't have rules. Just turn to a hardcore match.
It's fine though. I liked all of it. Liv Morgan.
Total side note. Oh, I was going to, no, you could keep going. I'm not going to have my aside about how Scarlett Bordeaux wants to have a lingerie hardcore match or whatever it is. That's a whole other thing. Did you see that on Twitter?
I did not.
I think it was bra and panties. I think it's bra and panties hardcore match is what she said.
Jesus. Does she want everything to just fly out? And did she pitch that to Vince? I can't imagine her pitching that to Vince.
No, I don't think so. But that was, I believe I saw that on Twitter.
That's funny. Yeah. I mean,
you could have whatever match you want.
I know, right? Right. Okay. So yeah, Liv wins the match. So it will be Liv versus Becky. Yes, we know that. At a later date, because why did they do this before Survivor Series? Very stupid. But we're also getting Bianca and Dewdrop, which I'm very excited about. So they're saying, I think Dewdrop may have gotten some edge because Nia is now gone. So the rumor is, are they turning Dewdrop into the new Nia, like the big monster heel sort
She's
of thing?
She's not that big, though.
No,
like Dewdrop.
But I want her to, if she's going to turn back, I want her to take her name back too. So that might be cool.
You know who Dewdrop? Dewdrop gives me kind of, stick with me here, but kind of Bray Wyatt vibes in the sense that not in terms of character, but just in terms of the ability in the ring. Like, and specifically when I think of, I mentioned Bray Wyatt because that's the really recognizable name, but like, I go way back to the original NXT when he was Husky Harris. When it's like big guy, but also what they called
agile.
Him. They called him like the army tank with the Ferrari engine or something to that effect was his nickname. That to me would be where I'd like to see Dewdrop because
I agree.
We know that Piper Niven is very capable in the ring, agile, able to do all sorts of things. So turn that into a heel thing and it's awesome, and that's even something that Nia didn't bring. I think we might get that.
Because also this, like, I want to see this feud because this might be the first feud that Dewdrop might be able to like really go, because you know she was brought on with Eva Marie, she feuded with who were they feuding? Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose at some point, like right, really originally, or was it Natalya and Tamina? Either way, and then they went into that Alexa
with
Bliss
each other.
With each other, and then they went into that Alexa Bliss feud. Like she's been dealing with women who are just not like literally size wise are just either or size wise with Alexa just smaller. Alexa just really is just smaller, and like talent wise, like. Eva is nowhere near the wrestling.
Okay, good. I'm glad you said Eva. I'm glad you didn't call out my girl Dana.
No, No. So like I like her versus Bianca, like I feel like that's gonna be so good. Like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like they can just let loose. Because another thing I noticed, Bianca has been wrestling the four horsewomen for like the past like 8 months. She's been going. So when she had to step back and kind of like in this match in particular a few times, you could tell it was just like she has to hold back a little bit. I feel like maybe I'm just, and I'm not saying that against the other women. I'm not trying to be rude or anything like that. I'm just saying when you're used to.
If you're not the EST, from the EST of RHAP to the EST of WWE, if you're not the EST, you're just, you don't get it. When you're the EST, you're different. And Mari gets that. Bianca gets that.
Exactly. And
it's just another level.
All of that to say that I think her and Doudrop are going to make magic happen. And and it's kind of like, it's kind of like her and Rhea. Like, I feel like, oh God, I'm trying to not spend that much time on this, but also Rhea as well. Like, I feel like Rhea has, I feel like Rhea is losing a step. And I don't know if it's because of the opponent. I don't know if she's, you know, her timing, Rhea's timing seems very off kilter in some spots in this match.
Yeah. I think. You said that you felt like Rhea's losing a step. I mean, on this year on the main roster, I don't even think that Rhea's gotten her footing. There you know what go. I mean?
That might be it.
Like it's I just, agree. And I think that's a big part of it.
You
know, what's always just as like an aside on this, I always think it's so interesting to hear from wrestlers after, whether it's after they've been released or after, you know, like later down the line where they're talking about earlier in their career and they're like, oh yeah, I wasn't confident. I wasn't this, I wasn't that. I think we've already heard some of that.
We heard her say that.
Rhea. Yeah. And you could kind of, you could tell, you could see it, wrestlers when there's that difference or when there's that shift of like the confidence and fun versus not having fun and not being confident. And
Because her and Bianca in the Rumble at the beginning of the year.
That's unfortunate. Yeah.
So good. And it's just been,
Yeah. So. Were they the final two?
They were the final two.
Final two. Damn.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So at some point they need to kind of revisit that as well. I think. But anyways, finally we already announced the men's Survivor Series team. I don't know if you want to bring that back up, Matt, and for the Raw, or I can just say it again one more time. But for the Raw men's team, we had Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, Kevin Owens, Rey Mysterio, and we had Dominic Mysterio. However, on this week's episode of Raw, Adam Pearce, he said he realized, like, well, all of the team is made of former champions except for you, Dominic. So now you have to fight your way onto the team against this man, Bobby freaking Lashley. Like,
yeah. But it's like, no, Adam Pearce. Here's what you should have said. You should have said, I made a mistake because I made the teams. I decided to put you in this match, Dominic. And I also decided to tell Bobby Lashley to stand behind the curtain to have an opportunity to be in this match. But I'm not going to tell you that you're going to fight Bobby Lashley until now. Until this second. So that wasn't fair. Ray obviously wasn't too happy about that after. But yeah, I just get so frustrated because like we haven't had any time to get to know and appreciate and love this team together at all. Mm-hmm. It's so bizarre. It really is. And by the way, the Raw team is a freaking mess. Like, there's no way that this team is going to get along at all. Between Seth and KO and Rey and Lashley.
Lashley, yep.
And then Finn Balor's just there twiddling his thumbs.
Yeah, it does seem like the Raw roster is way more stacked. Like, the guys are like, they are stacked.
Well, yeah.
In a sense that, like, they're all world champions.
But I also feel like that's the team. Like, I think the Raw team.
But they have bad chemistry. Yeah, no.
Horrible chemistry.
Yeah.
Horrible. And it's only getting worse. It's almost like everything that's happening on Raw between the Seth and KO stuff this week and even the Ray, Dominic, Lashley stuff is just meant to set up the horrible dynamic on that team. Because on the other side, we have Drew. We have Jeff Hardy. We have Xavier Woods, King Xavier. We have, what's his name? Mystery. Happy Corbin. And then some mystery person who may show up. And like, for the most part, this team gels well. Like, there's really not any dissension in the SmackDown team.
Yeah, the funny thing is, it looks like SmackDown team is basically all baby faces and the Raw team is all heels, except for Ray.
I mean, and Finn.
No, Finn's a heel.
Is that what they call him now?
Finn's heel, yeah.
Look, to me, he's always a baby face in my heart.
Same.
Yeah. Good times.
Great times.
Yeah. But yeah, this was like a very interesting thing to sit with. I don't know. Like, I don't know where they go from here. I don't know what they do. Is there anything that they could do from here? Do we just have the team fighting next week?
Who knows? It's just, look, who knows? The way that they've been setting up Survivor Series has been very, very confusing. The good thing is, though, we'll be there. Yay. The Wrestling Rehab Up will be at Survivor Series 2021 at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York. We will be repping RHAP. So if you see us, feel free to come up and say hi, take some pictures. We will be taking over the Rehab Grams Instagram that night as well. Just come and say hi. Like, honestly, like,
yeah,
it'll be cool. Hopefully we can do some interviews with the audience when it's over.
Yeah.
You know, that might be fun. Yeah. It's just follow Instagram and follow at Rehab Grams. So you can see all of the shenanigans that we get up to that night, because we will be documenting it as best we can throughout Survivor Series. So.
Yeah, you know, we'll just be with all the New Yorkers doing the New Yorker things. If you love New York, if you love Tiffany New York Pollard, if you love the Big Apple, if you love Brooklyn, if you love Zelina Vega's accent, the Brooklyn one, not the British one, you are going to love what we do on the RHAP Instagram. Follow it at Rehab Grams. Off the top, Mari.
Yep.
There we go.
All right. And so that wraps up. We will save the rest for another day.
Another day.
Let's just get into a quick shoot segment here.
Uh-oh.
So the shoot is an unplanned, unscripted, any real life occurrences or events that happen in wrestling. And this week, we're just going to do a little bit of shoot. Just a little bit.
Yeah. We're taping up our fists right now, getting ready to shoot on some people. Mari, what are we shooting on?
Just a graze. We got to talk about Tony Khan. I feel like we did a lot of praising AEW this week, and that's fine. And we will continue. But also, Tony Khan decided that he was asked about, like, he was asked about the Empower pay-per-view. Like, a reporter asked him, like, oh, how did you feel about the Empower pay-per-view? Does AEW plan on, doing a women's pay-per-view? And before the reporter could even finish her question, he cut her off, which annoys me.
Do we know who was interviewing him, by the way?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was a woman. We do. Ella J. Yeah, Ella J of SES Scoops asked him, the bar, I think, has been really raised this year with a lot of all women shows and main events taking place. But does AEW have any plans or hopes to contribute maybe an all women's event out of their own sometime? And again, before she could even get that off, he cuts her off and he says, and I quote, I'm going to cut off your question right there because I don't think
he said, Let me. Oh, wow.
I don't think I get enough credit for what I did for the NWA show, because a good number of people who wrestled on the NWA show were wrestlers I sent and paid. So I do think I contributed, because the highest paid wrestlers on the show were actually people I paid separately from what they already make in AEW to go wrestle on that show. And I don't think they did a very good job of telling people that, honestly. Even though it was the deal we did, I wish they told more people that, because it was one of the points I made when we closed it, was to think I would be it was one of the points I made when we closed it was I think it would be nice if you told people that I was paying the wrestlers coming, because it was a big contribution from me. So I did pay the wrestlers for my show. It's kind of like when you pay for a dinner and nobody thanks you. So,
Wait, hold on. Could we let me cut you off, Mari?
Yeah,
and just say, because I know you actually have a lot of thoughts here. I'm just very fired up. Can I just say, what the heck?
Yeah, that was.
That's what. Okay, you go. Please tell.
No,
us
it's just.
Happening.
It's just, sir. First off, don't cut women off when they are speaking to you. That is the very most annoying thing you can really, truly, honestly do.
Yeah.
But also, like, why did you get so defensive? That question didn't even seem like she wasn't accusing you of anything, like a lot of people do, like myself included. I've said on this podcast how I don't like that AEW's women's division isn't given as much time as their men's. But she was just asking, like, does it at any time, any point in the future, do you guys think you'll do an all women show? And he just immediately, maybe it was that word contribute. It really triggered something in him, because he immediately just talked about his finances, talked about how he paid for the Empower show and how he's mad he didn't get credit for that. I'm like, sir, like, this is not.
Yeah,
this is very tone deaf, as they point out in the Cage Side. I was reading that from the Cage Side Seats article. But it's like, that's not the answer. You know, that's just not the answer. You know, it just didn't, I don't know. I hated it. I hated every minute of that. I really didn't like it. I really didn't like it. Like, we're not asking about you throwing around your wallet. We're asking, do you appreciate and do you value women's wrestling? And if you do, can you show it more? And that seemed like you kind of sidestepped that question.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just so exhausted thinking about it, because, you know, I think AEW does really do a lot of amazing things, and you know, they have their lane and they do great things. WWE has their lane and they do great things, but they have a few things that they don't do well, and one of them is just their diversity in general, but specifically their women's division is lacking insanely. And I just, it's sad. I don't know. At first I was fired up too. Like, as you read that quote, I was fired up and just wanted to trash him.
And now you're just disappointed.
And then now I'm just really disappointed about it, because, you know, like, who is going, here it is, Mari. Here's the magic. Mm-hmm. When are we going to have the day in pro wrestling where we have a promoter who gets it, who has a women's division that is strong, that's not just the side act, but who really has, like, women represented in a powerful way on a mainstream platform? When are we going to have a promoter who has diversity across the board represented on their shows? When are you going to promote it who elevates stars that are not mostly white people and white men specifically? That's the frustrating thing about AEW, because it's so new, it's so fresh. They had an opportunity to do something different and to kind of work out a lot of the kinks on, you know, things that have been wrong in the wrestling business in the past, treating the women as special attraction and as a piece, as opposed to what it really should be. We should get to the point where women could be, like, a huge part of the show. And we've even seen and commented on WWE shows this year where almost half the card has been women's matches, regardless mm-hmm. of how much time has been given to those matches. We've seen that. So it's just frustrating. And yeah. I guess the point I kind of come back to is like, you know, should we even be surprised at this point? And again, it's like the more disappointment as opposed to anything else. Like we need better. We want better. And Tony Khan, come on.
Yeah. And I think the biggest thing too is because the AEW women's division is not lacking. They're just not shown. Like they have exactly. such a great division there.
It's only getting better.
Yeah, that too. And so it's very annoying. So yeah, this was very, very tone deaf. But also we got to kind of talk about something else that might have been a little tone deaf as well. Ruby Riott went on a podcast and was talking about, they asked her about her versus Britt promo. And she said that, you know, all of that they came up with, they just said, we're going to give you guys a mic, go back and forth and go at it. Nobody wrote that. It was a great promo from both of them. It was they were going back and forth. One of the interviewers pointed out that they kind of did the dozens on each other. If you know what that means, you know. If you don't, sorry. But
I don't.
That's okay.
Dozen two. Like eggs?
Like yeah, the dozens. You've never played the dozens as a kid?
No, Mari.
It's not fun. It's just you're going back and forth and you're just going back and forth and making fun of each other. It's not fun, but it's a staple of the black
community. We probably called it something else in New Jersey.
Probably. But Ruby says to Britt, she a lot of people took that promo as slut shaming because Ruby did say she referenced like you're screwing some dude in the back. Like she says it in the promo and it's, you know, it's not a good look. However, I went back and rewatched that promo because I remember people saying that back then. And this interview just came out like a day ago and it brought up the same discourse on Twitter again. And I agree. I think the problem with that promo was it was so good because Ruby says like she wanted to go as low as possible because she knew Britt was going to go low about her being fired. And they keep going back and forth. And Britt saying, you have to change your hair and get a new tattoo. And you say you're running, but you just keep getting fired and stuff like that. And but the thing is that Ruby said that, you know, Britt is entitled. She's like, she said something else. And then she added and you're sleeping with the guy in the back. Like, I think that's the most frustrating thing because the promo didn't even need that line. Yeah. It didn't need that very slut shamey line, you know, and it would have been a good promo without it. And she says, yeah, I got fired, but you know, it's the best thing that ever happened because now I'm sitting here in front of you and we're about to have this moment. And it just wasn't, it was kind of unnecessary. So I think that's the biggest reason why it was a letdown, especially coming from Ruby when all of us love Ruby. And by no means are we canceling Ruby, and I am definitely going to continue to root for Ruby. It was just a point where you like sometimes it's okay to criticize your faves and just to say like just next time just think about like, you know, you don't need to add that because they were great. Unscripted Ruby Unscripted is amazing, and I admit I forgot because WWE completely underutilized her and she's great on the mic. So it's so good to see. And just if you took that line out, it's all would have still been great.
Yeah. When I watched this promo back just yesterday or the other day, like I guess the thing that comment stood out to me mm-hmm. or those comments, because I feel like there were a couple that were just like not even below the belt. That's not the right way to refer to it.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. But it was just like unnecessary. Like, there was a comment in there or it was implied that at some point that women, that this is a thing that happens a lot, that women in the locker room are sleeping with men to get ahead, which is like,
exactly.
Is that even remotely true? Anymore in today's day and age?
Yeah. Britt, like we've literally seen her claw her way.
Yeah.
You know, up this ladder since
the thing is, Adam Cole has not he's been in AEW for all of 2 months, where she's established herself as herself independent of all of that over a much longer period of time. If anything, he has to benefit from her glow and her shine because she's been shining in AEW. And so but I don't think that's even a factor. I just think it's frustrating from that perspective because it's not true. Like, there's not truth to what they're saying in that sense. But also, to me, it didn't feel lazy. Lazy is not the word. This promo and the execution didn't feel lazy.
It was low-hanging fruit.
It felt almost formulaic, though, is kind of what I'm thinking, where it's like, ooh, what do people say in really good wrestling promos? What do women say that's really going to get people fired up and get this crowd fired up? And you don't have to work in people sleeping with people for it to be like that. Like, if it was men cutting a promo, like, obviously you wouldn't have a comment like that. Mm-hmm. And I just think, like, that's the part that I felt was unfortunate, is that they said, ooh, let's work in this line because it's a good line and it's going to pop the crowd. And, like, it wasn't
exactly. That's what I'm saying. It just felt like low hanging fruit. It was like, it was easy. It was easy. It wasn't lazy. It was easy.
Yeah, so, it was easy. It was easy, and it was well. Like, again, I can't stress enough, the execution and the fire of it was great.
Yeah.
Like, oh wow, Ruby's a strong promo is kind of what I walked away from it with. And I think that they traded blows back and forth where it was really they both ended up looking good.
Yes, exactly.
But I mean, I'll also say this, that for better or for worse, I mean, as much criticism as it might have received, I'm sure that that comment didn't receive nearly enough criticism because the fan base that's watching does not care about slut shaming for the most part, or like probably doesn't care about, well,
it was,
I don't
like,
say they don't care, but you know what I mean?
The comment section on it was literally like the men, that was awesome, and the women like, wow, that's messed up, you know?
That's what I'm
saying. It's just because it's different shared experiences, you know? Yeah. Like most women can relate to when all of their hard work has been reduced to slut shaming, and it's like not cool, you know what I'm saying? So, then again, we also, for the Britt and Ty Conti feud that's coming up today, we also got a little bit of weird back and forth where Britt says something to the effect of like, Ty just like showing off her ass, and it was very, very weird. Like, oh
yeah, I mean, actually,
that ass that you like showing off, it's like, yikes, what?
Yeah
and they showed Ty's modeling pictures, and
they did.
She's like, why are you so obsessed with what I do with my body? And it was weird. We just need to get away from it.
I think it's weird, especially puts the focus on the wrong thing. So even when it's like, now it's clicking for me in the preview for Full Gear where they were talking about that.
Yeah.
And I distinctly remember they showed the pictures of like Ty Conti, like leaning, I think there's one like leaning up against a wall that.
Yeah.
And it like asks, you know, but I just think it's like,
what are we
now
doing?
You're just you're distracting from the wrestling.
Yeah.
And it, like, what is it adding truly? I mean, I get that the story isn't the most fiery story, but you don't need to go for the low hanging fruit, people. And that's like, it has nothing to.
Yeah. And even
like, again, are we seeing that with the male performers, with the men?
No.
Yeah.
And we even see Britt say something to the effect of like, you're going to talk about how I have friends in the back. Okay, be original. Like, even she's over it. We're all over it. Like, we just need to move on from that. So,
yeah.
All right. Either way, that's it for the shoot. Let us know if there's anything you want us to shoot on by leaving us a email. wrestling@robhasawebsite.com, or of course you can find us on Twitter. You can find me at Mari Talks Too Much. That's two, like the number two. Matt, where can the people find you?
You could find me at Matt Scott GW on the Twitter, on Stereo, on the places. That's GW at the end, Matt Scott. at the beginning. And, you know, that's where you can find me. But Mari, do you have like plugs, things that want to tell the people about?
I have to. So, of course, like we said at the beginning, we were both on the Bachelorette podcast this week, hanging out with Amy and Haley. Please go check that out on the Bachelorette Rehap Up feed, wherever you get your podcast. I was also on Married at First Sight with our good friend of the pod, Asia Welch. And again, Amy, I had a double dose of Amy this week. I hope I didn't annoy her too much. Both of them, we covered the Decision Day episode of Married at First Sight. So not the end, because it's still, they still have like two reunion specials, so another couple of more hours of Married at First Sight. So just go subscribe to the Married at First Sight Rehap Up podcast. Again, you can find them, Married at First Sight Rehap Ups, wherever you get your podcast feed. It's a great show. If you like us on The Bachelor, you'll love Married at First Sight. And it is just a great show, and they are great, great hosts. So please go check them out. And I'm not just saying that because I was on there this week. It is a great show, and I love listening to them even when I'm not on. So other than that, Matt, you have any plugs, or can we take it out?
The Bachelorette is the big plug. That was so much fun to do.
It really was.
And to be part of. So definitely check that out. Again, the Bella Twins make an appearance. Not featured, make an appearance.
Singular, yeah, appearance.
We always come through with the wrestling references wherever we go. So yes, listen out for those. And then also, wild to believe that this was at the start of the week, but on Monday this week, I recorded the patron Q&A with the one, the only Rob Cesternino. And we talked about Survivor 41, and that's actually available, I believe, on the RHAP YouTube. So where you could see our beautiful faces right now is also, if you scroll back a little, where you could see the patron Q&A, which was a lot of fun. Probably there are always wrestling references and everywhere. So if you want to find the wrestling Easter eggs in RHAP, this is a good place to look. But I think those are the plugs. I'll also plug, just for anyone who's listening, who might be in Philly. I will be at Bryce and Wen Presents next week. Last time it was in DC. Mari was there. I was there. A lot of our other RHAP friends were there, new and old alike. And yeah, I'm going to be going to that. And it's going to be a good little time. So if you're there, well, if you're going to be there, let me know you're going to be there. But if you're there, hit me up and say hi, because that'd be weird to know that you're there and not actually meet you in person. So those are my plugs. But Mari, back to you in the studio.
All right, everyone. Thank you for joining us this week on the Wrestling Rehab Up podcast. We will see you next week. And of course, watch out for any flying elbows. Bye.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.